much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
No, no, not again. Not again. Again. Would it never end?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
Oh, good for you!
We couldn't even convince you that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Oh, come on. That millionaire playboy, he's too busy socializing at cocktail parties and managing the affairs of the Wayne Foundation.
And what the f*** is it with you? What don't you f***ing understand?
You're gonna have to take that f***ing attitude out the door right now, you hear me? We don't play that f***ing in here.
And now, for good music by big name stars, tune in to this station.
All music is important, Dick.
Stay off the f***ing set, man. F***ing set. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a f***ing minute. Let's go again!
Our feature presentation.
That is maybe the best tape ever.
We don't play it nearly enough.
That is correct. I just can't get past that.
It was good.
So brilliant. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31. What's happening, party people?
Well, we're taking your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What-A-Do Nephew, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. I'm begging you to call so that we don't have to talk to Julian about getting the fear. So please call.
We're talking to Julian either way.
Well, hopefully we won't have time for Julian because we'll have some outstanding calls on the phone, too. So if you're with me and against the poo-poo pee-pee, you'll pick up the phone and call Kevin and Bean What-A-Do Nephew. By the way, what about Dr. Drew assaulting a man last night? What about that?
I know.
I didn't see that.
With a needle.
Dr. Drew went berserk last night and attacked a man, and against his will, stuck him with a hypodermic needle.
Yep.
Now, he seems like the most in-control, in-charge guy you could ever imagine. I don't expect those kind of wild antics from our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Explain. I did not hear the story.
Well, why don't you ask the victim standing to your right?
Oh, well, then that's fine. Who cares? He's the victim.
On the air last night doing Loveline, he stuck me with the flu shot.
Okay.
And I just trust him that it's going to be – but then I woke up this morning and I felt like I was going to die.
Oh, good. Yeah, that happens occasionally, so you'll actually get a little of the flu.
But I think it may be a little more. Look at Mike's face. Look, it's really swollen and puffy, and he said his throat felt like he's having a little bit of a reaction to
awesome.
It beyond what you normally get with a flu shot, which
awesome.
Sometimes you feel a little crappy for a couple of days.
Why did he do that? Because of the swine flu?
He recommended that I do it.
Right. And, but there's recommending and then there's chasing around a parking lot.
Well, so. And then he – no. I mean he had like a bunch of preloaded syringes. And
is he just injecting everyone he runs across on the street?
He came into the studios with like five of them ready to rock. And he was going to give them to the board op and to the producers. And he said, "Would you need one? You need a flu shot?" I was like, do you recommend it? And he said,
No, he just spread in five needles because he's against it.
He's trying to protect himself. He's inoculating everyone around
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
a great idea.
That's true.
That's exactly
what
it is.
He had a super soaker full of Purell he was just blasting us with, too.
That's not Purell?
So now, yeah, I feel pretty much on the verge of death.
Good.
Yeah.
Way to go, Doc.
Maybe he doesn't like his co-host.
There's that.
That could be. He could be. That may not be a flu
Maybe
shot
that's not
all.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's more and more in common with the listeners all the time. Hey, now, I've never had a flu shot in my whole life, and I don't know that I've ever gotten the flu, you know, during one of these wintertime outbreaks.
Well, you live
outbreaks.
In isolation. Why would you?
Well, I haven't. I haven't always, though.
Human contact is a part of this situation.
I
but I haven't
every
always.
Year, and I haven't gotten the flu in years and years and years.
This was my first one.
I don't think I've gotten a flu shot in a long, long, long
time. A lot
time.
Of people don't like to take them because they say it gives you the flu, and I don't think that's true. But sometimes you do feel a little crappy for a couple
right.
of days afterward. That does happen.
Well, the swine flu on the news is in full effect right now.
It sure is.
You're hearing about it all the time now.
In Paris, you know, they want people to stop that kissing thing they do.
Yeah, that double cheek kiss,
yep.
yeah. There's a huge outbreak on the campus of several universities, including Washington State University. And that's disrupting, you know, classes and everything because a lot of people aren't showing up now.
Yeah.
By the way, which
that.
Is what I, exactly what I do if I were in college. Oh, yeah, swine flu. Can't make it.
Sure.
Make it.
Yeah, swine flu, no one questions, and they really do, like, actively want you to stay away if you say those words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
there was a big video game conference this weekend, too, called PAX, and something like 60,000 people showed up for that. And there's already at least one person who has been found to have had the swine flu while he was there. Now, picture all the people coming after him to play those video games.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They're setting themselves up for it. So it's easy to see why it spread so fast and why some of the predictions are just so crazy for how many people are going to get it. But I hope Mike gets it. That's all I know.
I do, too.
The interesting thing was,
hope he endured the shot, got sick from the shot, and then gets the flu.
He looks bad. I'll tell you that.
He does. He told Mike, don't get the new flu vaccine that they're formulating specifically for swine flu.
Don't do
and
that.
He had all these reasons why. He said, don't get that one. Get the regular one.
Yeah.
And okay. Mike can't remember.
So
I mean, it's
then
very
you get
medical.
A snout,
but
and you turn
I said,
into a pig
so
and fall over
is
dead?
This going to help me with the swine flu? And Dr. Oh, no. And don't get this new vaccine that they. And I said, well, why? And he gave us all this medical terminology. And Buck Cherry and I looked at each other. The entire band, we looked at each other. We're like, what the hell is
What's
this guy
talking about?
But the bottom line is he didn't feel like it was useful.
I thought that was interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
we're
now
so
more
how do you
confused
know?
Than ever.
How do you know? They tell you to get the shot. You're not supposed to get the shot. Get the shot. Don't get the shot.
I don't know. You don't know. That's the thing.
Here's what I do. I mix my own concoction and get a shot of
it?
That. Yes.
That's
it happens
to
be a part of it. All right. Let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize today. It's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
Yeah.
Sorry we couldn't do better for you. Why don't we start with Michael? He's on line 6, and he's calling about this very self-same topic. It sounds like he has an opinion. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing, Lisa May?
What it do, Michael?
What's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about the swine flu. You know what? It's just a big hype. People die from the swine flu all the time.
Yeah, and the other part that seems to be missed is that you can pretty much just get over it like you do any other flu.
Yeah, you know, I've never had a flu shot in my life. Yeah, and I get the regular, normal flu. But, dude, you get over it. You take a lot of vitamin C, and you're done with it.
The regular flu, though, then you didn't get the regular
flu
if you're down for a day. The regular flu will take you out.
Me too, but you can't say that word.
All right, that's all right.
I'm sorry.
Word.
Thank you for the call.
He doesn't even believe in the real flu.
Right. Oh, the flu.
I wonder what people are dying
what's
of.
What's that? All right, let's go to Julian, because really we need to. Julian, hi.
Oh, man.
Hello, Julian.
Yes?
Oh, sounds like he's not there. Sorry.
Yes, I am being douche.
Nope. Can't hear you. Can't hear anybody on the phone.
Oh, I can hear him fine.
This summer, I was in Avondale, Arizona with my cousin, and he told me, he dared me to climb a pretty big fence, and before I did, I got the fear.
The fear.
The fear.
You don't want that.
Yeah, and then... You know, I didn't want to because I really had it, you know, I had the fear.
The fear.
The fear.
He started calling me a bitch and all this stuff.
You can't
well,
put up
can't
with that.
Do that.
You
got to
climb, at that point, you got to climb the fence.
Yeah, and so I was climbing the fence and I'm fat, so I can't climb fences.
This story has everything.
All right, you're fat, so you can't climb fences.
It's bad.
That's
the fear.
The fear.
You don't want to hit the ground and have that happen all at once.
But
that,
at least so you now just... you're not a bitch, right?
Yeah. No, the best part was I had to walk through a crowded restaurant in the restroom so my cousin could let me borrow some shorts.
Good times.
Yeah.
Wow, you know how to party. All right, thank you, Julian.
He just bursts like a balloon when he hits the ground.
That's the strangest thing. All right, let's go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. What'd it do?
What'd it do, Raheem and Honus?
Wow.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
You've been listening literally too long.
I have.
What's going on?
Hey, twice in the last month I have heard Jack Hole on national regular television.
How about that?
It is part of the vernacular,
that?
Isn't
it's turning
it?
Turning into it, yeah.
Yeah, Law & Order SVU, their new captain guy, walked in and called the regular captain a Jack Hole. I was dying. I was cracking up.
I like
and
it.
On House.
Really, on House 2.
That's
good. I heard that one too, yeah. For folks who don't know why that's so interesting to us, our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who for many, many years was the sports guy on the Kevin and Bean Show, back when we had a sports guy, he invented the word jackhole because he needed something that was stronger than the available language out there, but not so strong that we couldn't say it on the radio. And jackhole had just the right mix, and it has absolutely taken off, Kelly. You're right about that.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Best. I use it all the time.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thanks for the call. If you ever see the end of any of the shows that Jimmy produces, too, it says Jackhole Production.
Yep.
And, he's even named his company after that.
Let's go to Jared. Hey, Jared. What'd it do?
Good morning. What'd it do?
What's going on?
Hey, got a bombing went off here in Visalia.
A bombing went off?
A bombing. It was a mail bomb delivered through the mail service.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was supposed to be a pipe bomb, but they haven't confirmed it yet.
Okay.
So did it explode or no?
Oh, yeah, it went off.
But did it explode or no?
Yeah, it went off.
It went off, okay.
Yeah, it injured one employee there. They won't say his name, but the FBI has now been called in, so.
Okay. The FBI!
That's the only reason he called. Right there, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
It is.
That's too much.
That's it.
That's a long slide for an out is what that is.
Well, in his defense, the FBI was called.
That's a dude that's rounding third and starts to slide about halfway home and then realizes that he's pulled
up
short.
He's going
to
come up short.
Yeah, he's not going to make it.
I'm the home plate umpire, and I'm going to give him the run even if he missed the plate. Wow. How about that? Thank you very much for the call. That's awesome.
They said FBI.
FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Okay.
We have Jane Lynch on the program today. Love her.
Yes.
She's so great. She's the one that was in charge on
Role Models.
Role Models. Thank you.
Yeah. She's in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
She's really in just about everything these days. And she's in a new show called Glee. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's a pretty good show.
I watched the first episode again yesterday to get ready for tonight.
You watched it twice?
I watched it when we got a CD.
Yeah.
You know, a DVD quite a while ago, and then I watched it again.
Well, remember, it was on 4 months ago, Kevin, right. So it's kind of a refresher before the season starts.
I really did forget most of it.
All right. You're my people, then.
I am your people.
Yeah. Also, on today's show, we're going to help a listener try and pick an NFL team. He doesn't have one.
Oh, okay.
He wants one, but he doesn't have one, and he hates bandwagon fans, so what do you do?
Wow, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
G4's Adam Sessler on the program today talking about 09, 09, 09, 09, 09, and 09, and Beatles Rock Band, which comes out today.
Crazy. A lot of stores opened at midnight last night so that people could get their Rock Band.
Wheel-O Bad Animal Voices on the program today. Very excited.
Okay.
Funny man Jay Moore in the studio.
Oh, we haven't talked to him in a while.
I don't know if you've seen the story about Japan's first lady, but she's been taken many times by aliens to Venus.
I did the first not know lady. That.
That would be like Michelle Obama saying that. And you go, okay, we're in trouble.
Interesting. All right.
Unless the Venusians or Venetians, whichever one they are, unless they come to Earth, in which case we've got somebody on our side. We've got somebody who's already familiar with the situation.
Yes. He's our envoy.
If that happens, we are set. If not, we got trouble.
I'm just saying there's a positive that she's reaching out to other planets.
All right. Fantastic. So we'll get to all that. It's 5:43. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat now.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I know it's hard to believe, but through the miracle of modern air travel, we are going to be broadcasting live for you tomorrow from New York City.
New York City.
Stop it.
Do we officially have permission to bludgeon Lisa around the head and shoulders every time she does that while we're gone?
Yes, but I would imagine that you perhaps should stop the pause. Don't pause and give her the opening.
I didn't do it on purpose that time. It wasn't my intent. I swear to God, I didn't even think about it. I was very surprised. I was very surprised.
That was an alley-oop if I've ever seen one.
Yep. Yeah.
I can only tell you guys, as the only person who knows the truth, that I didn't even think it. Didn't see it coming at all.
Well,
all
right, you can't blame me because it felt like a pause.
About anything.
Well, I mean, in this particular case, since I'm the one who thought it and said it. But Lisa hasn't been doing it all week, so I thought that was over. But anyway,
I surprised you.
Let's make it a permanent decision. It's over.
All right.
Let's just go by that.
I'll say Juno.
My point is, we're going to be in New York City tomorrow.
New York City?
See, I went fast, so you couldn't do that. All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Just a little bummed.
Why?
Just looked at our seating arrangements for the flight to New York City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin and I are sitting next to each other. So gay.
We are going to have the best time.
Oh, God damn it.
We're going to chat and sing songs.
No talking on airplanes.
It's going to be so good.
No talking. I love Kevin. But here's the thing about me flying next to people, unless it's my wife.
I don't like to sit next to my friends on flights because then I feel obligated to have conversations with them. And then when I stop, it feels like an awkward pause and it makes me uncomfortable. It's very
odd
sensation.
Because you don't want to be mean.
Yeah, you don't want to be rude and ignore the person, but sometimes you run out of conversation or you want to watch a movie or read a magazine or something, and then you feel like you're a doofus not paying proper attention to your friend.
Let me ask you something, Ralph. You're sitting next to Kevin.
Yeah?
Kevin flies, not coach.
No.
Is that right?
That's correct. I fly the plane. I'm in the cockpit.
Kevin usually flies.
The F up.
Wow.
Because I know where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
And it's way in the back. So you just shut up about who you're sitting next to.
You're right. You know what? I realize it could be worse. I could be sitting next to Lisa.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That'd be worse for me, too, by the way.
Well, then you win, because you're not sitting next to me.
Listen.
I can only talk for about 5.5, 6 hours.
Is that all you can do?
And then I need a break.
Yeah. I'm going to dose you. I'm going to give you some of that propofol that Jackson kid was taking.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's good stuff.
All right, that'll work.
And I'll wake you up when we get to New York.
This is a tough start for a trip that hasn't begun yet, by the way. all of this abuse.
Then again, I could be sitting next to Bean.
That's true.
Now, see?
All things considered.
I feel much better now. Just having gotten off my chest, I realize of all possible situations, this is the best one.
All right.
So. I am iTunes only on airplanes, so you wouldn't have to worry about me.
Yeah, but you'd still be there, being all you.
And he'd be all, like, spread out because he's all tall.
Every time he flies someplace, he tells, I was sitting next to blah, 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 blah. And then we were talking about blah, 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 blah.
I talked to Buzz Aldrin for about 4 hours until he hung himself. Throws a rope into the overhead compartment. If I'm just swinging there.
So you're going to have to sit down?
Yeah. All right, let's talk showbiz, shall we? Congratulations to Christine Milian. She, of course, the star of the new Bring It On that went direct to DVD last week.
Right. Oh, there's another one, yeah.
She is officially married to the dream. They said their I do's yesterday in the Little White Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas, Nevada. The bride and groom wore rented apparel.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. You think he could afford to, buy a suit?
Yeah.
Sure. She could buy a dress. I'm going to rent my wedding clothing. I might just get married in what I showed up in,
Well, if you
rent me one of them dresses.
If you're in Vegas, by the way, you're not really putting a lot of work into it.
That's true.
So
just show up.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Speaking of weddings, happy anniversary to a Hollywood couple you really don't hear much about, which I guess is to their credit. Billy Baldwin and his wife, Chyna Phillips, are celebrating their 12th anniversary today. They've been married for 12 years. That's like 50 years in showbiz.
It is.
Years.
Yeah.
And they seem like a very happy couple. Of course, Billy Baldwin of the acting Baldwins and Chyna Phillips was in the band Wilson Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Which was white. She's white, Mike.
No, she was the hot blonde.
Hot blonde, okay.
From that trio.
All right.
And they were wildly successful for about 8 minutes.
They were.
That's right.
Terry Hatcher from Desperate Housewives has revealed to People magazine that she is going to be running her first triathlon.
This year. Me too.
At the age of 44, she's tackling her first triathlon.
Wow.
The good news for her is she weighs about 7 pounds.
Right.
So the wind will really help carry her in the running portion of that. She can just ride the breeze like a glider squirrel.
As long as it's going in her direction.
Exactly.
Otherwise, she's screwed.
That's true. Yeah. She better hope she gets a good tailwind.
Now, if she grabs onto a butterfly, is that considered unfair or does that still count?
I think it's okay. I think it's under the act of God policies. Speaking of acts of God, we are all going to die.
Wow.
It's true.
Now or just sometime?
Well, sometime.
Okay.
And the only thing you can decide is where you're going to be put when it's all over.
Next to Michael Jackson.
Well, Kevin, funny you should bring that up. Prices on burial plots at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Glendale have skyrocketed. The price to buy a plot in that cemetery now has tripled.
Wow.
For one reason. Apparently, fans are lining up to be close to Michael Jackson when they spend the rest of eternity.
I don't think I understand that whole thing.
I don't either. And you know me, I'm a hardcore collector, and I'm a big fan. I get that mentality.
Right.
But the whole after the death part, spending time with that person?
When you're dead.
I don't see how you appreciate that.
Not going to be much of a party.
Not much.
Hmm. So you wouldn't pay a little extra if you knew you could be buried next to Adam Westroth?
No. Okay. I really, I don't see the upside.
How about if you guys were buried in the same coffin? How about if you guys were together, entwined forever?
That is creepy beyond words. Speaking of creepy, Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens in the news. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What's going on with my sweet Zach?
Apparently, the two of them are on the rocks. Might be a shot for you, Bean.
Tell me more.
Their relationship is in trouble, according to AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website. They say that their relationship is on the rocks. One of the sticking points is that Vanessa Hudgens receives a lot of attention from the opposite sex wherever she goes when Zach isn't around. And of course, Zach gets a lot of attention from the same sex, so
that
is problematic in their relationship.
Oh my gosh, I can't find it so beautiful.
Apparently the pressures of stardom are also taking their toll on the couple, says a friend. I'd like to feel the pressures of stardom just once. I'd like to see how, I'm turning into a diamond. The pressure is just so intense, being a star and getting tons of money and eating in the best restaurants and driving around in limos. How can I bear it?
You know, Kevin has always espoused the theory that you're as faithful as your options, and it's a miracle that any young, attractive couple stays together in Hollywood when they could each, you know, basically just have anyone they wanted.
It's true. Today's Beatle Day. All over the world.
Oh, yeah. It's such good news.
You got Beatle Rock Band coming out today for the video gaming systems. You've got the remastered Beatle albums also being released today. And you may not know this because it's been flying sort of under the radar, but the Beatles' first movie, A Hard Day's Night, is now available on the Blu-ray edition, but only in Canada.
Only in Canada?
So far, it's only available in Canada.
Well, that's an FU.
But it is a Region 1 country, so if you can get a Canadian version of it, you can play it on your own Blu-ray player here in the States. But they say it's amazing.
That's weird.
I think that's one of the 10 best movies of all time.
I enjoy that.
F the Beatles. I hate the Beatles.
Oh, come
F you, Paul Ringo, George John. F the Beatles.
Wow. That robot lady sure hates the Beatles.
She sure does.
Like they do. Like those robots do.
Oh, robots hate the Beatles.
With their musical taste.
They're not happy.
You know, the Beatles are only the second best-selling act of all time.
Second
best-selling musical act of all time.
Behind Creed?
Yes, right behind Creed.
Second.
I was going to guess Garth Brooks for some
You'd
reason.
You'd be correct. Garth
really?
Brooks is the highest-selling musical act in terms of records of all time. He has sold 69.3 million albums.
Wow.
Beatles, only 59 million albums. But don't feel too bad for him. Apparently, insiders in the industry are speculating that the Beatles will make this year, monetarily, from the game and from the sales of their new albums and blah, blah, blah. The Beatles, well, the two that are still around, families of the other two. The Beatles will make $1.6 billion this year.
Oh,
wow.
God. Ringo?
Dude.
Well, yeah, Ringo will get a fourth of it.
I hope Ringo only gets like a little taste.
Look at the $0.6 billion.
Yeah.
McCartney will throw him the $0.6.
Here, have that. It's
keep,
nothing.
Keep the bill.
That's something.
Yeah.
In a year. In 1 year.
It's a yearly amount. 1 year. This year. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Michelle Williams is 29 years old today. She, of course, the baby mama of Heath Ledger. And a fine actress in her own right, 29 years old today. Adam Sandler is 43 years old. Hugh Grant, very talented actor, is 49. And one of my favorite actors who just really needs to start making movies again, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he's great.
He made that movie with, some kid. It was out a couple weeks ago. Vanessa Hudgens or somebody.
I don't remember that.
Oh, was he in that that band camp or rock thing?
No,
there
was another movie about her working for him because she gets out of college and she can't find a job.
Hmm.
Don't email me. I'll find out. I'll find out what the answer
Ralph
is.
Ralph at KRock.com.
No, I'm good.
But and plays, you don't really even care that much.
He plays like a supporting role in that. But I remember when he's a movie star?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
He used to be freaking Batman, for God's sakes. He was a big star, and then he just fell off the face of the earth. I wanted to make movies.
Yeah.
Night Shift. Oh, Night Shift.
Night Shift was great.
One of my favorite movies
Mr. Mom,
ever.
Great.
Oh, Night Shift. Note to self, feed mayonnaise to tuna fish. I could do that all day. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
When somebody works too much, it starts to show in their work.
Sure.
Psycho Mike, get on that microphone over there if you don't mind.
So you're talking about a doctor that's on the clock for 60 hours is likely to make a mistake with the wrong prescription.
Great example, yeah.
Psycho Mike's been working around the clock here at the radio station, and we pulled an air check of some of the highlights.
Some gold?
Some gold.
Oh, I'm going
to
like this.
And we would just like to ask, what's up with this? This is all, I think, within like an hour. Omar was listening and rolling tape.
type.
Mike, aren't you on literally like 12 hours at a time sometimes?
I was Monday night to Tuesday morning. That was a 12-hour sesh. 12-hour sesh.
It's too much.
I'm sorry, is a 12-hour sesh?
12-hour sesh.
Well, this is all from – we tried to distill it down just to the gold. So I'm just going to play some little clips, and this is a guy that may be working too much.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I cannot listen to this song and not dance.
So that's the kind of high-quality entertainment that's going on over song.
I'm just being honest. It is not my fault. It is not what I do. It is who I am. This is brand new music.
Yep. I don't know what that means, what it was about.
What accent is that?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Is it one you do around the house a lot, or?
Sometimes. It is not my fault. It is not what I do. It is who I am. This is brand new music. Sometimes you just get possessed. You get the feeling of, as an entertainer, you just take on, different characters. That's how it goes, dude.
As
Have
an entertainer?
Have you guys ever been possessed?
Are we entertainers?
They're not entertaining. Oh, that's the difference.
Good point. No.
All right, you wanted it, you got it.
Okay, what's that?
That's what? Drunk Lightning.
What's that voice?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I sound a little punch drunk.
A bit. Perhaps you're working too much.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor.
I don't know what that was about.
Well, that's a Star Trek reference.
Of course, but I don't know how you worked it in over...
He didn't. He just said it.
I did. That's true. Good point, Lisa.
What a night you have ahead of you. Brand new music from... Let me see. The Cage of the Elephant. How about brand new Dead by Sunrise and the Dead Weather? A lot of dead, I just said.
At least now you have the flu on top of it, by the way.
The man-made flu.
Kings of Leon, I believe you were coming out of, probably.
Oh, yeah. What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
It's true.
I don't know why, where all of the voices are coming from. How many people are in there? Honestly.
This band's legit. They're legit.
They're legit.
He has been bringing back the use of the word dig. I dig it.
Dig, legit, and bitchin' are my new ones.
I do dig Brian's voice. Oh, man, dig that band. Like a garden, I dig it. New from Chester Bennington.
Yep, that's what he said.
Yeah. Like a garden. Like a garden.
Lisa May, I don't know if you're aware of this.
I dig it.
Life is like a garden. Dig it.
But Mike, if you were driving around and listening to another radio station in Kansas somewhere, and you
right.
heard a DJ come on and go, like a garden, I dig it, you would never stop mocking him.
And rightfully so.
After I orgasmed.
Like a garden, I dig it. New from Chester Bennington.
That is the definition of douche.
Yeah, right it really there. Is.
Seriously, Bean is right. If you heard it in another city, you'd go, what a douche.
Yeah, what a cool song.
Thank you for telling me that.
Hey, man.
All of a sudden, Dewan's in the studio.
Was Dewan, yeah.
My hair not like yours.
Yeah, what a cool song.
Oh, come on, Mike. What's happening with you, honestly?
I guess I've given up.
But seriously.
I don't know.
I mean, don't say...
Like a garden, I dig it.
Ever. Ever. Under any circumstances, that should not be said.
Well, I've never really been put on the stand for the, would you like to take that back? And
right.
Now that I'm being confronted with stuff like that, I stand by dig. I stand by life's a garden, dig it.
Do you stand by this?
Like a garden, I dig it.
Really?
I do.
I stand by that.
I don't know if I stand by the like references to nothing. The
Somebody
damage
give this
doctor.
Boy a day off. That's all I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Either that
it's getting worse, actually.
He's going to die.
Because he's got Loveline at night now.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know. And Dr. Drew's filling him full of all kinds
right.
of swine flu.
I was hoping it was propofol, but it turns out it was just the swine flu.
Because my dreams are bursting at the seams.
The people love it. Come on. That's what I know right there. World famous K-Rock at 6:41.
Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, is a show that is giving you the opportunity to be near, can't promise you'll meet, but be near Megan Fox at the red carpet screening of Jennifer's Body. Ralph Garman has more details and your chance to win coming up later on today. So we got this email from a Kevin and Bean listener named Andy, who's in a little bit of a tough spot. In fact, Kevin, I think you and Andy have something in common, which is that neither one of you have a football team.
I do now, but I had to go through the same thing that he's going through at this particular moment. Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Andy from Los Angeles, and used to have two football teams. Used to have the Raiders, used to have the Rams.
Right.
Used to.
Andy, Rams fan, found it difficult to follow them as they went to another city.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now let's stop right there and figure out maybe this is the source of the problem. If you were heavily invested in either team, why didn't you just continue to root for them even after they moved away?
You know, I think it was a thing. They moved away when I was really young, so I think I was only a fan for a couple years. So
okay.
I just didn't have that long term investment with them, and I felt kind of abandoned when both of them left.
Sure, I understand. So what have you been doing up until this year when you came up with a way to solve the problem?
Well, basically, I love watching football, and every Sunday and Monday, I just hope for close competitive games.
Good games, yeah. You pick the matchups that seem the best, and you watch them for a good game.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And if gambling was legal, I'd root for the team I had money on.
Right, sure.
Do you, and there's no way to get around that. That's what's so frustrating. How did they figure out a way to stop us from gambling on football? Do you have any players that you particularly like? Because that's how a lot of people pick a team. I mean, that's how Dave ended up being a Falcons fan, remembers? Because he was a fan of a guy on that team.
Right. You know, I went to UCLA, so I basically I follow UCLA players that go pro, but usually it's hard for me to get on board with the team. I root for the individual player to do well.
Right, but you can't just widen that up to the team and hope that they
know,
do?
I've tried to. I just can't get myself to care about the team. It really doesn't make a difference one way or another if
now,
they win or lose to
me. You say in your email, like all of you, I loathe bandwagon fans.
I do. They might be the worst people in the world.
And then you go on, and I think this is a good description of what goes on. It's no coincidence that Boston fans turned to complete a-holes once they won several championships. This is because everybody who wasn't a fan hopped on the bandwagon but didn't go through hard times, so then they mouth off and they turn into a-holes.
Okay. Exactly.
And so how did you determine a team now? What are you going to do? You're going to put...
What I did the simplest thing. I put all 32 football teams into a hat, and I'll draw one out. I mean, is it really that more stupid than liking the Colts because Peyton Manning does funny commercials, which one of my friends did do?
Yeah, he started liking the Colts when Peyton Manning was doing those commercials?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they became a big Colts fan.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
Exactly. And it's kind of lame to choose a name out of a hat, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm. But what I don't understand is if you do the name out of a hat, you're still a bandwagon fan, though. You're still jumping onto an existing franchise that already has long-suffering fans, right?
This is an exercise in masochism. I want to see if it's possible to actually care about a team just by choosing one at random, like it seems like so many people do.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Our conclusion, by the way, is that that's a bogus way of doing it.
Yep.
And if you want to make sure you're not a bandwagon fan, you must become a fan of the Detroit Lions. Because is there a bandwagon? No.
That's true.
There's no bandwagon there. If you're a Lions fan, you're not on a bandwagon.
I do want to kind of enjoy my season, too, though.
Oh, I see. So a bandwagon fan's okay now at this point.
As long as it's a team that's winning, you're happy to jump on board. I think I see. By the way, I would love being a Lions fan because of how hysterically they lose every week. I mean, they were 0-16 last year.
Yeah, when you say never happened. But when you say you'd love being a fan, you mean you think it would be fun to
laugh at.
It's not hilarious if you're an actual fan.
Like the same way that I enjoy every Raiders game because of how pathetic they are. I mean, it's so much fun to see them lose.
They do figure out a way to snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory, or however you say that.
By the way, I don't get the bandwagon fan thing. I don't agree with
bandwagon fans.
I don't because, I mean, everybody has to get on board at some point. A team's fan base is going to die out at some point, and not everybody is born in the city where the team is. So I would welcome people from anywhere that wanted to become a fan of my team.
But the problem with bandwagon fans is that if you're a longtime fan and you go through the tough times, now times are good and you're not going to be able to get tickets to the game. And you know what I mean? Like the bandwagon fans, they come on your team and then they're there for a little while until it's the tough times again. And then they jump to another team. And that's kind of insulting. Yeah.
But the macro view of that is if I love the team, then it's great for the team to have all these new people interested in the club because the team's making a lot more money. They could use that money for acquisitions. I mean, it does nothing but improve the team.
Yeah, but
if
you're thinking about from the owner's view, from the fan's view.
No, from the fan's view, though. If the team has more money to get players with, for instance, because they're making more money because more people are going to the games or buying the merchandise or watching them on TV, it's a win for everybody, I think. But, I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from, being selfish bastards and all. Now, did you already do the thing with the names in the hat, Andrew?
I did.
Uh-oh.
I, as of a month ago, I'm a diehard, long-suffering Miami Dolphins fan.
You're a Miami Dolphins fan.
Diehard.
Diehard.
Diehard. And long-suffering, based on the last month.
Yeah.
Based on pulling a name out of a hat.
Based on pulling a name out of a hat. You got it.
Now, what was your initial reaction when the, when you pulled it out and the card said Dolphins? Were you pleased with that or disappointed?
I was neutral. I really didn't know much about the Dolphins.
I think you're going to have a hard time carrying.
We'll see.
I think although it was, you know, a good exercise, I think when it comes to the season and gets halfway through, you're going to go, my heart just, I can't, I'm not in it.
Oh. And then he's right back where he was when he started the exercise.
The Detroit Lions.
That's right. Isn't the Dolphins a tough road for you because not very many of their games are on TV? And, I mean, unless you've got a football package, not very many of their games air on the West Coast.
Oh, I have a football package. Yeah.
Okay.
For this
He's
year,
a huge though. Football fan. So
you're set. Okay, yeah. So who do you like on the Dolphins?
My favorite player has got to be Ricky Williams. The guy came out of retirement because he couldn't afford pot anymore.
Yeah. He was forced out of retirement. He was forced back to the United States from his weed-smoking mountain cabin, wherever he was.
He failed about 100 drug tests.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
He is the best. That's true.
What's not to like? Exactly. Now, do the are the Dolphins expected to do anything this year?
Well, they made the playoff last year, and they pretty much have the same team as last year. They brought back Jason Taylor, who did his bit on Dancing with the Stars, and now he's back.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
So
and you're good with that?
I'm okay with that.
One of the guys on Dancing in the Stars? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny.
All right.
So go Fins then. I guess that's the message, right?
Yeah.
You have a hat? You have a jersey? You getting the stuff?
Definitely. I am total bandwagon fan. I bought every merchandise.
I thought you hated. You loathe. You wrote the word loathe.
Right. We'll see I'm not a big fan of myself, so.
But he has to do it if he wants a team, though. He's got to jump on board somewhere.
There's one team without a bandwagon, and it's the Detroit Lions.
I think he should stick with his word.
Every Lions fan could fit in a VW Beetle, in fact, so you'd be fine. All right, let me give out Andy's blog because it has been an entertaining journey to see him get where he is now. And if you want to follow how he does the rest of the season, it's anyroomonthisbandwagon.blogspot.com. Anyroomonthisbandwagon.blogspot.com. And hopefully, people who are out there in the similar situation don't have a team maybe can learn from your experience and see how it goes with the Dolphins.
That's the goal.
Glad you wrote in, Andy. Thanks for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bandwagon.
You know it's there, the tiny sticker peeling in the corner of your windshield, faded from the summer sun. It's time for a change. Head to O'Reilly Cragen to purchase Peak Performance Motor Oil for just $1.99. Peak is the official motor oil of the IndyCar series. When you peak, you win. I'm Lise May with K-Rock Traffic.
I hear that's true, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peekaboo!
It's 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. It is Wednesday. What the hell are you talking about, Ralph?
Talking about Willis. Well, Sandra Bullock has that new movie out, about Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeesh. Up to 5% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes now.
And that's
for a while, it was hovering right at zero.
That's where they take all of the reviews and average them together?
Yes.
Oh,
serves her right.
Well, that's rough.
They don't average them together as much as they count the percentage of positives versus negatives, and it's at 5%. So that tells you what kind of film we're dealing with.
Serves her right. Isn't The Proposal still in theaters? Don't get greedy, Sandra Bullock. Oh, I'm going to have 19 romantic comedies in theaters at the same time. No. We have reached saturation point with your ass. Well, it turns out she wasn't always the perky, composed, poised superstar that she is today. When she was a kid, she said she had to go through extensive speech therapy because she had a nasty lisp.
A lisp?
Lisp. Looking back, Sandy says she doesn't understand what the problem was. She says that individual quirks are a big part of who we are, and it's sad that we have to lose them.
It is?
Well, then go back to lisping then, Sandy.
Wait a minute. It's not sad.
Let's see how popular movies are then.
No kidding.
It's all about Steve.
The Proposal.
No one's going to watch that. Rose McGowan, speaking of movies, is currently making the comic book smash Red Sonja. For those of you who aren't comic book fans, you're probably not familiar with Red Sonja, but she was
Red,
one-time concubine of Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Okay.
And she was a beautiful, pale-skinned, flaming, red-haired warrior who wore a chainmail bikini in the comics.
All right.
I'm assuming Rose will dress likewise.
She sounds perfect for that role.
First, Red Sonja was Brigitte Nielsen years ago. She has injured herself on the set, Rose McGowan has. She was doing stunts for the movie, and she lost the use
of her arm for a while because of nerve damage.
Wow.
She had to undergo surgery for the injury and lost part of her elbow.
What?
That seems like something you would need all of. The elbow.
Yeah. You can't just give up parts of your elbow.
I would like to have the entire elbow, please. She said it's just part of the job, and she says the price you pay for being able to do backflips. So apparently she was doing some stunts and really wrecked her arm.
Wow.
It's kind of a drag.
It's so funny you mentioned about that costume that she wears, the chainmail outfit, because that's kind of what thrust her into the limelight, remember, when she showed up with Marilyn Manson at some sort of red carpet event wearing a dress that was essentially just made of chain link.
It's made out of
pop can pops.
I think it was MTV
Awards or something.
That's when a lot of people kind of first from realized who she was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's a bitch. By the way,
I love it. I was waiting for that.
I don't know if everyone knows that, but she's a total bitch.
Was it your tennis shoes she didn't like or something?
Well, I think I
wait a
she
minute.
Was
You're
coming
on
into
to
the
that
show
this long.
I don't blame.
No, she was coming into the show on a Friday when I was doing Movie Beat,
right?
And I talked about the BS movie she had coming out.
Yeah,
and I wasn't apparently glowing enough for her, and she came in with a chip on her shoulder, saying how I didn't understand her movie. And they said, "Why should I listen to anyone who's wearing white tennis shoes?"
Well, she's got a point.
She went there.
Was it after Labor Day?
Labor Day, yeah. She went from film criticism to shoes. That was her attack.
Plus, I don't like your shoes.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
That's
absolutely
true.
Communism. Congratulations to David Bowie.
Yeah.
Today, he is the proud owner of a spider that has been named after him.
A spider?
Oh. Yeah. A German arachnologist named Peter Jaeger has discovered a brand new Malaysian spider that is giant, bigger than your hand.
Really?
Yellow. And it's a brand new species of spider that he's discovered. And so he named it after one of his favorite performers, David Bowie. The name of the spider scientifically now is Heteropoda David Bowieus.
Come on. The person that finds it can just name it
whatever you want. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Peter, by the way, this arachnologist, has identified 200 new species of spiders in the past 10 years. He is good at this.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding.
Apparently, the spider, this Malaysian yellow spider, is so large, it actually makes noise. You can actually hear it. So I pulled some audio from the new David Bowie spider.
I am a giant spider. I am a giant spider. I am a giant spider.
It sings?
A giant yellow spider.
A big spider.
I am a giant spider.
How big it is.
A giant yellow spider.
A big spider.
I am a yellow spider. A giant yellow spider.
I think we understand. Chatty, too.
A giant yellow spider.
Yeah, we got it.
A giant yellow spider.
The large yellow Malaysian spider.
Right. A giant yellow giant spider.
Right. Bigness yellow.
I am a giant spider.
Okay.
A yellow giant spider.
Right, we got it.
A giant yellow spider. A really big yellow spider. A giant yellow spider.
Got it. Understand.
A giant yellow spider.
Right. Could you have
a really big yellow spider?
All right.
God.
I'm a giant yellow spider.
We understand.
Could you describe the spider for us?
Right there.
Wow. Not a big vocabulary, those
Not
spiders.
Not much.
Well, they're, you know, big.
But for a spider, though, that's pretty impressive that he knows what he does.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Williams is 29 years old today. Singer Michael Bublé is 34. The women think he's dreamy, Bublé.
Yeah. They do like him, yeah.
Adam Sandler's 43. Hugh Grant celebrates his 49th birthday today. And Michael Keaton, I'm Batman, is 58 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Japan.
Hey!
And their new first lady. New prime minister elected in Japan, taking office in a couple of weeks. His wife, Kevin, she...
Well, she crazy.
She crazy. I love this because you never see this at the highest levels of government because
they get weeded out.
Yes, it seems yes. like they're scrutinized. Every part of their lives are scrutinized. Yeah. And if there's anybody that's got any skeletons, they totally, you know, get kicked out. But for some reason, and I don't think it's healthy necessarily, but that's how it's done.
Especially if it's not even you, it's your spouse.
But this dude's wife is a cuckoo bird. She's just nutty.
If you had trouble with Hillary Clinton because she wears pantsuits, listen to this. One of the things that the new First Lady of Japan does is eats the sun every morning. She closes her eyes and pretends to remove bite-sized pieces of the sun. Yum, 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 she says, placing the imaginary solar morsels in her mouth. I get energy from it. My husband also does this, she says. That's the man who's going to be running the country.
Hey, not so much from you. Can't you just picture him just going, look, listen, I know you got picked up by aliens in the 70s, but is there any way you can not talk about that right now?
Right.
Because I have, China and North Korea and Russia. I have a lot of problems here.
That's the headline. That's the headline that got our attention. I went to Venus in a UFO, so we thought, let's ask some questions. We do have Japan's new First Lady on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I hope there will be many other appearances, Miyuko Hatayama. Nice. Yama. There's no way I said that right. Hello. How are you?
Wait, who was that?
That was worst intro ever.
It was terrible. It was awful.
Horrible.
That was not a good intro.
No, you are correct.
You are not very good at your job.
That's correct.
No, you're absolutely correct.
How what? You do, Round Eye?
Well, we're
How
fine.
You
but
go?
We go well.
We go fine. But so what good. Should we? What should we call you? I apologize for butchering your name, but what should we call you?
You may call me Miyuki.
Miyuki.
Miyuki. Yes. Okay, I can handle that.
That is my name.
And you are the wife of the new Prime Minister of Japan.
I am, okay. Yes. I am very honorable First Lady of Japan.
Okay, all right.
And you went to Venus in a UFO.
Of course, many times.
To Venus?
Yes, I have traveled many times to Venus in flying a spaceship
in a UFO.
1970s.
Okay.
While my body was sleeping, you're quoted as saying, I think my spirit flew on a triangular-shaped UFO to Venus. It was an extremely beautiful place and was very green.
Yes, it's very green planet.
Really? You've been to Venus and all you can give us is green?
What you got on Venus?
Nothing. Nothing, but because
shut up.
Well, I haven't been there, but I'm saying.
What do you know?
Well, I'm saying if you're there, don't you have more detail than that?
You don't know.
All right.
Everything.
I don't.
I know about Venus.
Okay, well, tell us what else you know about Venus then.
It's round.
Right.
And very green.
Right.
Okay.
And people speak their Venusian.
They do. They speak a different language.
Yes.
Unique to that planet.
They go, and I say, I don't understand Venusian. And they say, right. And then I got back on the triangle and went back to planet Earth.
Hmm.
So there really were people living on Venus, though. You actually had contact with what we would consider extraterrestrials.
Yes, I spent much time with them.
Okay, what do they look like?
They're green. They're triangular shaped.
Right.
You know, in retrospect, I may have had some bad blowfish.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
It may have been a bad dream.
Now, if you're just joining us, by the way, improbably on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, we have Japan's new First Lady, and I'm going to try the name again. It is Miyuki Hatayama.
And there you go.
You also have said in chat shows recently, in interviews leading up to your husband taking office, that you're friends with Tom Cruise and that he used to be Japanese. Explain that to me.
Well, I am not currently friends with Mr. Cruise.
Okay.
But in another life, we were friends.
In a former life?
Yes.
Okay.
He was Japanese in his past life, and we were friends then.
Is that right?
So if I ever meet him, I would say, hello, it's been a long time. And he will immediately understand.
No, he'll run from you.
No, he will not.
Okay.
Because we were friends in another life.
But does he know that?
Of course he knows.
Okay. All right.
In another life, I was with Tom Cruise.
Okay. You were with Tom Cruise?
Yes. Oh.
With?
Yes.
Like we mean when we say with?
Yes.
Oh. How'd that go?
It would not end so well because Zenu,
tied us all to a volcano and dropped atom bombs inside it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That was not good.
That is not the way you want to go.
Also, in another life, I was on the Dukes of Hazzard.
What? What? Are you sure?
I was Boss Hogg in another life.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
It's true.
I don't see that happening.
In another life, I used to live with the mole people underground.
You didn't live with the mole people.
They're green?
Nope. They're not.
I eat the sun every day.
You don't eat the sun either.
I do.
You're just nutty.
And I also like to eat a very special Japanese dish called some young guy.
Okay. All right. We got to
go. F the Beatles. I hate the Beatles. F you, Paul, Ringo, George, John. F the Beatles.
I think that's
the
message.
You couldn't F George and John any more than they've already been F. I think the damage has been done there. But it is 999 today, and it is a very big day for Beatle fans. And to talk about at least one aspect of what's going on with the Fab Four today, please welcome our friend Adam Sessler back to the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play, our favorite show over there on the G4. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great, thank you. Have you had the opportunity to get some hands-on with the Beatles Rock Band in stores today yet, or are you just hearing about it like the rest of us?
No. We've had it for quite a few days over at the G4 offices. A lot of people have gotten their hands on it. One of the things I can say is with all the other Guitar Hero and Rock Band games out there, if you have to listen to someone else play a game, it's nice that it's the Beatles because you know that at least the next song, you probably know what it is and it won't be offensive to your ears.
So. Yeah, that's true. I guess with the other ones, it all depends on the songs they play and in what order, and you may not like it.
And you might be having a lot of fun, and then suddenly it's Mustang Sally.
Right.
And you want to punch somebody in the face.
Right. Sure.
I can't wait to hear more about it. First of all, what's the best thing about Beatles Rock Band?
Well, the best thing about Beatles Rock Band is what makes Beatles Rock Band unique and the fact that it is the Beatles. It works for some people that may not like the Beatles in that you know not to get the game.
That's me.
Yes, I was about to say, the Beatles is about three times larger on the cover of the game than Rock Band is.
Sure.
So if you do get confused, you deserve to lose those $60. but if you are a Beatles fan, if you have a passing interest in the Beatles, it's really kind of an amazing experience. It isn't a cash-in, as many people might assume, because you could probably just do the least work possible on this game, slap the Beatles on
That's
it,
what I would
and put
guess.
It out in stores. No,
they didn't do that.
This is very much a labor of love. There's a story mode in the game where you start in the Cavern Club in Liverpool, you go to Budokan, you're in the Abbey Road Studios, and then you end on the rooftop where they played Get Back.
So you have to make it past each level by playing well enough or something?
Exactly. Okay. And then you kind of unlock those songs so other people can play them with you. It's really neat because in each of those settings, you see them playing, but some of the songs have these very unique trips, and I do mean trip. You know, specifically, where when you're in the Sgt. Pepper's era, suddenly the screen will just change, it'll get psychedelic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting production design that goes with it that was not necessary, and it kind of shows you that the guys who put this together really did have a lot of affection for the band and really wanted to do the nicest thing possible.
How's the sound? I understand they went right to the master tapes for Rock Band, which I don't know if that's always the way it's done.
That is the most interesting part, is that I haven't heard, obviously, these recordings that are also coming out today. I assume they're very similar in their quality.
Right.
But when we first started seeing the game back at E3, you know, when you heard when my guitar gently weeps, it was just amazing because I never heard it with that much fidelity. It was far more exciting.
But isn't it still in mono? Isn't that how they recorded it?
I believe it is still in mono, but boy, it's awesome mono. It's like two good people are standing right next to you, you're singing in perfect unison.
It's awesome mono, but that still, at the end of the day, is mono, isn't it?
Well, there is a stereophonic quality to here. As far as those audio elements of the game, I have deferred that to some of my staff members who are excellently, you know, nuanced on these things.
And they like it. They love it. Sounds good. All right.
Now, once again, there are some non-Beatles fans that
of course,
are at G4, and they're just staying as far away from it as possible.
Yeah.
What's the level of difficulty like on playing some of these songs?
So here is the issue with the game. And back when I was here during E3, I remember thinking, okay, I understand why you have Rock Band Beatles, but a lot of the Rock Band songs, why you have so many different bands on it, is because some bands, like, say, Metallica, offer a lot of challenge, and you put that at the end of the game.
Right.
The Beatles were never known for the virtuosity of their playing.
Right.
It was really sort of the elegance of that design. As a result, while there are some hard songs on Beatles Rock Band, it never gets to the level of what you get in the final tiers on Guitar Hero or Rock Band. At the same time, it's not like they should have added in extra elements into Beatles songs that weren't there originally
to try
to give it some degree of challenge.
I would imagine people who like the Beatles would rather have it sound like the Beatles rather than try to make it harder than it is.
And there's a real good chance that a lot of people who have never played a video game before, at least not a music rhythm game, you know, who are probably in their 50s and 60s, remember the Beatles when they were actually alive and playing music, will adopt this game, and it's probably good not to throw too much challenge at them. This is not necessarily a game for the hardcore gamer out there.
Right. We don't want people falling over dead because they're old and they just played Rock Band for the first time.
Or like maybe see a lot more arthritis medicine suddenly being advertised on CNN and Fox News.
Hey, do you think, it's interesting, I hadn't thought of it that way before, Adam, and this is Adam Sessler in our studio, by the way, from X-Play on G4. Do you think that this will be the, what you know they say in many industries, is the killer app that will get people, some people into Rock Band really for the first time? Because, hey, I like the Beatles, I'm going to try it, rather than I don't know all these other bands that are on it?
More than even getting people in a Rock Band, it could get a whole new generation to maybe understand video games or buy a video game console. I do not think it is any coincidence that only a handful of days ago, Sony introduced the PS3 Slim, their smaller model of the PS3 that is also $100 cheaper than what it had been selling for originally.
Makes sense. And this is on the PS3 and Xbox 360.
And on the Wii.
Right.
I think that they saw this potential happening. They need to get a price cut in there. This could be a console mover. This could be one of those generational shifts. It also could not. I mean, I think there's the entire industry is holding their breath, kind of curious to see what's going to happen with this. One thing that I do think will happen is that parents who have children that have a PS3, 360, or Wii will get this, because this is very cross-generational in terms of playing with your kids. My parents used to play the Beatles with me when we were in the car or at home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of doing the same thing, but you know, I think this is how you introduce kids to music these days, not just by playing the music.
That's true. You're absolutely right. And it's interesting that the Beatles catalog has never ceased to sell. Every year they sell millions of records from new fans.
And probably everyone who's about to buy it today already has
the whole thing.
All right. So it's available on all the platforms and it's available everywhere. Is there any fear of this one being a sellout or being difficult to get in the weeks or months to come?
That's an interesting point. Obviously, this game has been done for quite some time, so hopefully they've been able to manufacture a lot. Where you might see a sellout is on the special editions of the game, especially the very expensive one where you get special guitars modeled after the guitars that the Beatles themselves use.
Oh, really?
Plus, Paul McCartney's violin bass. It's much larger than you might think, and so if you are diminutive in size...
Right.
You may have some challenge using it, and so you may want to also keep an eye on the regular Rock Band and Guitar Hero guitars.
Okay.
All right.
Makes sense.
Wow, that sounds cool. So, but the extra edition that you were just talking about, is that just the guitars from the band, or
is there other
stuff?
It's that. It's the game. It's a handful of other goodies. It's a very nicely packaged disc.
Does Yoko come to your house and play it with you? Or?
Yes, and then you give up on the game and
sing
you just
hey,
you know, go and play the Stones or something.
Exactly. All right. Adam Sessler's here from G4. That's Beatles Rock Band. Adam, do you want to stick around? You got some other stuff going on in your world that we can catch up with?
Happy to stick around.
Fantastic.
It's a big day for Beatles fans. We've already talked about the Beatles Rock Band, but with Adam Sessler in the house from G4... there's lots of stuff to talk about, including Guitar Hero 5, where finally, it took five editions of the game, but finally I can play that funky music white boy on Guitar Hero. It's about time.
Wow, you've been waiting for that, have you?
Because, I mean, it's such a composition, really. You know, everything. It's like Wagner in pop form, really.
Sure. Adam, how much jockeying is there with labels and bands to try to get on these games now? Because let's face it, they're reaching more people than, you know, radio and television these days.
It's kind of a two-way street. There are some bands, more or less the contemporary bands, are dying to get on it because you can really sort of move your music, not just, you know, through Rock Band or Guitar Hero, but, you know, on iTunes, on other, you know, means of getting music.
Right.
But then for some of the more classic bands who are a little more, I don't know about this whole game thing, you're not supposed to have, you know, fun with my music. I'm a virtuoso. You can't replicate my magic. I won't name any names. Oh, I will.
Who's that?
It's Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. which sucks, because the likelihood of getting Led Zeppelin on either one of the two games seems probably harder than the Beatles was to put this all together.
They could do their own game, too, by the way. Led Zeppelin unbelievable.
But they wouldn't, right?
I think because of the way in which the music is owned by the members of the band, it's going to be near impossible to get unanimity among all of those guys.
Are they even on iTunes yet, Led Zeppelin?
I don't believe so.
I don't think they have either. Wow.
That is a shame.
I know. I mean, at some point they have to go, we're losing out on so much money by not getting into the way it's being distributed these days, right?
The story I hear from the guys that, you know, work on the various games is, you know, you have a hesitant, you know, band. They might give them one song, and suddenly they see all this money coming in, both from the downloads of that music on the game, and suddenly there's activity on iTunes.
Right.
It then makes the second request a little bit easier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly.
And on this on Guitar Hero 5, I mean, they do have Eagles of Death Metal, they have Coldplay, Arctic Monkeys, the new AFI song is on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's the best mix of songs I've seen on a Guitar Hero game. It's also the best Guitar Hero game since, like, the very original ones, when we were so wowed with the concept.
Why? What's better?
Well, they've just done all those necessary tweaks. Last time was World Tour, and that was a game that was kind of playing catch-up with Rock Band. Rock Band came out a year before that and was the first one to actually have multiple instruments. Remember, back in the old days, it was just one guitar, right? Now it had all the drums, and it had the bass, and it had the vocals. This was very much a catch-up, and there was a lot of rough edges around it. This has really been refined, and it's got this really cool mode called Party Mode, because some people don't want the challenge. They don't want the competition.
Right.
And everyone knows, a lot of people play Guitar Hero drunk at someone's house when the neighbors are sleeping.
That happens, yeah.
And to help facilitate that, they have Party Mode in theirs, where you can have four people playing. Uh-huh. They can be playing all drums, all guitars, and also you can just step in and step out. So you can start playing the music as if it's like a jukebox. No one's playing. Somebody steps in, and that person can choose their own difficulty.
Huh.
So it's really balanced just for the fun factor of the game, and they sort of got over the fact that it only has to be challenging.
Right.
And it really is a lot of fun to do that. And at the end of the day, if you've seen people who are a little bit inebriated at a party, and suddenly they're failing out on the song, and everyone has to start over, and that's how the fights start, and then it gets ugly.
Yeah, that is true.
Is there something that they have been working on these music games to take it even to another level? Is there any step in our future as significant as the step was to add other instruments besides the guitar?
Well, I want the sitar for my Ravi Shankar downloadable pack.
I don't understand any of those words.
Sitar, Guitar Hero. That'd
be something. Imagine what we are going to be seeing coming out later this year from Activision is DJ Hero, where they're trying to do the same thing with electronic music. Whether or not it's going to work is going to be interesting. I quite enjoy it, although I think one of the best modes in it is when one person's using the turntable device and another person's on guitar, and you get these very, very raucous songs. The music on DJ Hero 2 is quite impressive.
So DJ Hero is you spin according to what's on the screen?
Spin. Your device is just one turntable, not two.
I see.
But you have multiple buttons on it to help simulate moving between the two turntables.
I got you.
It's a lot to get your head wrapped around. I think even more so if you're used to Guitar Hero, because you're not reading the screen the same way, but it looks like you should. I think there's a lot of potential for it, but it's another expensive game with a big piece of plastic that costs over $100. Not exactly, I think, the best time to be putting this stuff out there.
What do they do with, I imagine, DJ AM?
Very attached with that. Obviously, that is a deep regret with his passing.
So they have to go in and revise? Or
it's unclear yet how they're going to handle that. Obviously, there's nothing offensive about his inclusion in the game.
Right.
So I don't think that they're necessarily going to remove him. But I think to the extent that they may have once intended to use him to sell the game, that might be a little tasteless.
Right.
Hey, Adam. Adam Sessler on with Kevin and Bean right now. He is the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4. We're going to get to your call, Josh, in 1 second, so please don't hang up. Was there ever a time in your life that you can specifically remember when your mom or dad screamed at you to stop playing video games because there was no way to make a living doing it?
Oh, yeah. I was probably when I was playing video games.
Yeah. And do you laugh every single day on the way to the bank when you think about how they told you you couldn't make it playing video games?
Yeah, I chuckle mildly. I have a good memory of I was sort of cleaning stuff out of the parents' house. You know, college was over. I finally had a big enough place over in San Francisco. And I was getting all my comic books together. She's like, why did you keep all of this? I was like, this is what is giving me my job.
Right.
Unfortunately, I love my Chaucer, But that's not what brought me here today. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And did they say, when are you going to get a real job, though, a serious job?
It did take a while mm-hmm. for, especially my father, to understand that I wasn't doing infomercials.
Right.
Like 2 to 3 years. But,
did they watch X-Play? And did they have any interest in your world now?
They do. My grandmother even watches it. Although, I think for them, watching the show is kind of like what the Peanuts kids heard from the teacher.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. So they see me on there. Because I only get phone calls about the shirt I was wearing, not about all the amazing video games I was talking about.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Josh real quick in our remaining moments with Adam Sessler. Josh is on line one, and Josh is now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Josh. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, Adam. Big fan of yours for a while.
Oh, thank you.
I had a question. A couple days ago, there was some possible leak news from some random Sony representative saying that all Sony PS3 games were going to come out with a 3D and a firmware update next year. And then a couple days later, Sony was like, oh, no, it's just a technology we're researching. It's not anything sure. What do you think about that?
Well, you did say 3D.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was up at PAX in Seattle, and I commented on 3D.
What is PAX?
Oh, PAX is the Penny Arcade Expo. It is a convention for video game fans and tabletop gaming fans. It's a really, really nice event, and we were just up there doing a
bunch
of panels.
Sounds like a lot of Ms. Pac-Man.
I was on a panel where someone asked me about 3D. Now, first, to answer your question, I don't know this for a fact. It does not surprise me that 3D technology is being researched.
A lot of movies in it now. A lot.
Now, I'll use an analogy. Once upon a time, I had a roommate. My roommate liked to get a lot of piercings in his Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on saying, dude, you know, why are you doing that? That seems kind of ridiculous. And
seems
he says,
like
well,
a good question.
It enhances sexual pleasure. And I always thought, how bad was it for you before? You know, you're in the middle of something. You're like, you know what would really improve this? Some metal. That's how I feel about 3D in video games. Video games are doing very, very well right now. We have some wonderful innovation that's happening with the motion technology and just with the way they look and the way that you interface with them. To just add on this new thing that's kind of like just, you know, it's the new hip kid that just came to school.
But you don't think it would make it look that much more
I've seen a couple
involving?
Of games that are doing 3D, for me at least, and that's me. It's distracting.
Okay.
Yes, it adds depth, but depth that does not enhance my gameplay experience or give me an added edge in terms of strategy. It's probably, you know, 20 years down the line, someone's going to really perfect this art, but I'm afraid that we're going to have a lot of games that would be good without it.
Ah.
You're the first person I've ever met who isn't excited about 3D or doesn't think it's better.
Well, I play games to get away from life. My life's in 3D. So,
okay,
yeah. So you
don't
4D.
Like that.
Something like that.
And the Earth is flat, according to Adam, and yes. President Obama was born in Kenya. Okay, I think we got it. And the government is responsible for 9/11. All right, I think we got it all down.
Did you see Gamer?
I have not.
Because I saw that over the weekend, and it very, very much looks like you're watching a video game. I mean,
really?
It's made that way because it is a video game.
In terms of CG graphics or from the perspective of the camera?
Both.
Really?
Both. There's this kid playing, and Gerard Butler is the star, and he has to do what the kid tells him to do in real life. But it looks the way they cut, the camera work, everything it looks, and the screen, you know, electronically and everything. It just looks very much like a video game.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It can't beat the wizard, though. That's
I don't
impossible.
Know the wizard.
Oh, from back in the 80s?
Okay.
Yes, it was,
can't
it was,
beat that.
It was the kid from the Wonder Years. It was an adventure okay. story. It was like Pinball Wizard, and it had Super Mario in it. No, it was a terrible movie.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a joke. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. All right. We are out of time. Adam Sessler, of course, hosts the G4, and it airs weeknights at 8 o'clock on X-Play, excuse me, on G4, weeknights at 8 o'clock. Adam, it's always great to catch up with you, man. We really appreciate you coming in. We'll see you soon, all right?
All right. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. On the Kevin and Bean Show, every hour, Ralph Garman takes a look at the showbiz beat, and that starts right now.
Dude.
See Miller's Place last night?
No.
Nope.
Oh.
I taped it.
Can't believe I just heard those words come out of your mouth.
I did not.
Isn't that the Ashley Simpson Wentz show?
Ooh. Let me tell you a little something about Miss Ashley Simpson Wentz.
Please do.
She's a terrible actress.
She can't sing, but boy, can she not act.
Really? Okay.
As an actress, she makes her singing look like Luciano Pavarotti.
Wow. So she's a rare double threat.
She's got about 8 lines in the whole first episode. And each one goes over like you know what in a punch bowl.
Wow. No
it's like
kidding.
Watching a bad high school play. She's horrible.
What are you saying?
I don't get it.
She's all right. I just couldn't. I can't comprehend how she could have gotten that role. Because the other kids on it are really pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. I'm not a big nighttime soap guy. And I don't buy into a lot of those programs. Like
you remember
King
or like?
But the thing was, I was really into the original.
Me too.
So I made a point of catching it last night, and it's actually pretty good.
Is it really?
In a very soap opery kind of cheesy way, but right. It's very entertaining.
But you know they're going for that, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
The goal.
That's what they were shooting for in the original, and that's what they're shooting for here, too. And like I said, everyone, on the most part, is very attractive and very talented, but Ashley Simpson Wentz blows.
Not as, huh?
Wow.
Didn't she have some acting job when she was a lot younger? Wasn't she on some series? I don't remember.
Not that
much.
I recall.
I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, she danced and then ran off the stage of Saturday Night Live. I saw that acting.
She was acting like she was a singer. Poorly.
Wow.
Did you watch that or two also, or just give Fox that 1 hour, Melrose?
It's the C-Dub now. The new show is on the C-Dub.
C-Dub, sorry.
Yeah, it used to be on Fox, the original.
Right.
But I was never really into 90210 so much, so I didn't really care about that. But the Melrose Place I wanted to check out last night, and I was actually entertained.
Will you
Although,
watch
I'm cheesed off.
Why?
Because they killed my girl, Sydney. You know, Laura Layton?
Yeah.
From the original?
Mm-hmm.
Dead, first 15 minutes
first
in.
Episode?
Dead.
Why bring her back then?
That's
thought that was
I'm
one of the
saying.
Selling points of the show.
Because I guess it's sort of closure that Sydney finally got her comeuppance after all the crap she pulled on the original.
Oh, she was the bad
she
the
was
bad
the, she was the bad one on that show.
I
she
gotcha.
Monkeyed with a lot of people's lives and effed them up. And in the first episode, she, you know, the roosters came home to roost. What? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, yeah, but I'm sorry to see her go because I wanted to see her every week on television because I love her so much.
Yeah.
Right.
So
not
she's so
much.
Good.
So who's the new...
The new psycho
bad
bitch,
guy, yeah.
Ashley Wentz, Simpson
oh,
Wentz.
Oh, no!
No.
They're dropping the seeds that she's going to be the bad agent in the duplex there.
They might want to pick a different actor
the
or
apartment
actress.
Complex. But Michael Mancini came back, too? Dr. Michael Mancini?
Yes.
Very exciting.
Rob, I hear despite Ashley Simpson Wentz, there's a lot of hot poon on that
oh,
show.
Oh, mommy. I don't know who this Katie Cassidy is. I don't know who this it's, Katie
is
Cassidy
that
is.
David Cassidy?
That's what I was thinking. Is that David Cassidy's kid? Because I know she was like an actress,
yeah, singer-actress,
yeah. Too.
Wow.
She's a smoking hot lesbian on the show.
All right. Oh. All right, then.
Anyway, good times last night. Enjoyed myself. All right, let's get on to the showbiz, shall we? Before I do get into the showbiz news, holy crap, look at the time. That's what I get for yapping about Melrose Place.
Yeah, happens.
I've got tickets to give away to the, this is an amazing event. I give away lots of tickets to a lot of cool screenings during the Showbiz Beat, and I'm happy to do so. But this one really stands out. This is a little cut above the rest. It is the red carpet world premiere of Jennifer's Body, starring the lovely Megan Fox.
All right.
It happens at Grauman's Chinese Theater, which is where you have all the hand and footprints and cement outside in front of the theater.
Sure.
It's a Hollywood landmark. So you get that,
mm-hmm.
Plus you get a Q&A with Megan and the rest of the cast after the show. You get to talk about the movie with the cast of Jennifer's Body. Plus, Panic at the Disco is playing
Ooh.
At the event.
How about that?
So it's a full evening of entertainment is what it is right there.
Are there any questions left for Megan Fox after Dave the King of Mexico?
Well, not after Dave's expose, not after his in-depth interview that he had with her.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, what more can you say? More
what's
than
left?
Really nothing.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, let's take callers, the first five callers. First five callers at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now. The first five people that get through get a pair of passes to this very special event of Jennifer's Body, starring the lovely Megan Fox.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox.
Not to harsh your mellow. But I do have a very disturbing Megan Fox news story to follow up that ticket giveaway. This comes from an interview with MTV, where she says, and I quote, "You will never see a Megan Fox sex tape on the web."
Come on! Don't make that decision so flippantly.
The public will never, ever have a chance to see Megan Fox having sex on videotape.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Ugh, these girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Ugh, never, she says.
Never?
That's the last thing I want to see, what I look like having sex. It would take one shot of me not looking good, and I would never be able to have sex again because I would always just see myself looking like a hippo having sex.
Yeah, because
yeah,
that could
that's
happen.
That's likely.
That's not going to happen, Megan. Don't worry about it.
It's also not about what you want to see.
Film
you
know, away. Film away.
Once in a while, you kind of wish he had more self-esteem. I know generally you guys like
I
hot
don't.
Chicks not to have
Mike
it.
Mike does.
But.
Yeah.
So if she had more self-esteem, though, she might be taping herself out of sex.
Exactly.
But it's also hard to believe she thinks she looks like a hippo. She's got to be exaggerating that.
Yeah. Well, she said she looked like Ernest Borgnine in that one interview,
yeah, right.
Remember?
But it's, I mean, come that's on. Fake self-deprecation or whatever.
Deprecation.
Thank you.
Make a note of that
one,
please.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want that one in 10 minutes.
Sadly, Megan also says she will never do nudity in a motion picture.
Oh, what
well,
a drip.
Well, she pretty damn close what in Jennifer's body.
I can't ever imagine myself doing nudity in a film. She says it lives forever, especially now with the internet. I just can't. She talks about the fact that there were those photos of her while filming Jennifer's body where she was swimming in that lake, but she had flesh-colored underwear on and those pasties.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And she said that image alone being flashed all over the internet mortified her.
Meaning was awesome.
Meaning it made her feel like her body was no longer private.
Yeah. Well, someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
When you're a celebrity, everything you say gets judged. Everything you do gets judged. Literally, all I have left are my private parts, and I don't want to share them with the world. I'd like to keep them private. That's why they're called that, she said.
She thinks, at the blue, she's a smart little girl, that she can do whatever she wants. None.
So, Ralph giveth and Ralph taketh away. I've given you the tickets for the red carpet world premiere. We get to meet Megan Fox, and then I've just bummed you out with all that anti-nudity talk.
Why don't you keep that to yourself next time?
Listen, I got to report the news, man.
I just got a bunch of emails that Ashley Simpson-Wentz was in Seventh Heaven.
Really?
So she actually had some acting experience, but it's
inexplicable.
Sure doesn't
Seventh Heaven, by the way. Another show that was on for 27 years. I never saw one episode.
Me neither.
It's wild that thing existed. Yeah. She's horrible. I don't care what show she was on. She's horrible.
Well, she's even worse if she was on another show
before. Exactly. If she had no experience,
right.
They could say, oh, poor girl. She's being thrown in the deep end and she has no floaties on.
Yeah,
she's been on a set.
Yeah.
And boy, that nose looks bad.
Does it?
That nose job, that fake nose she's got, looks bad. I'm not a fan. Nothing can tell on it.
They love her?
She's all right. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Williams is 29 years old today. Michael Bublé is 34. You think his name used to be Michael Bubble before he began got the show business?
Yes. Bublé.
It's not Bubble. It's Bublé. Shut up. Adam Sandler's 43. Hugh Grant is 49 years old today. And Michael Keaton, 58 years old today. Make a movie, Michael, would you please? Celebrate your birthday on set someplace. Make a goddamn movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You know how we usually put on a top-notch radio show? Firing on all cylinders.
What show are you talking about?
Right. Regularly.
Us?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're flying to New York today, and then tomorrow, it's going to be brilliant. We get in about 10:30 tonight.
Us?
We're going to feel good.
Tomorrow's show is going to be excellent. We have Bob Saget on the program. We have Jay-Z while we're in New York.
Wow.
It's going to be a good time. Breakfast with Muse is Monday, and that's all here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, it is 8:12.
All right, let's talk about the TV tonight. Actress Jane Lynch joins us in about 50 minutes talking about the real return of the TV show Glee. And there's something on PBS. We don't talk about the PBS very much, but ladies and gentlemen, it's a Sesame Street primetime special. 8 o'clock tonight. Apparently it is a special that involves Al Roker, the weatherman from from the NBC, and also Elmo. It's called Families Stand Together, Feeling Secure in Tough Times. And I guess the goal is to address the current economic downturn. Is to help kids understand what's going on in the world with bad finance.
Why mommy and daddy can't buy anything besides, you know, crappy food, you mean? That kind of thing?
Why you're living in
why
a car?
Why do you have to tell little kids?
Yeah.
Why you're living in a car?
Of course they can't see it.
Here's why you're living in the back seat of the car.
Exactly. So we've had who else to talk to about this very, very complicated issue but Elmo himself from the Sesame Street, and we've got him on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Elmo.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How about you?
Elmo, very happy to be on your show.
It's not a problem. We're happy to have you.
Oh, good. Everybody happy. You happy? Elmo happy? Everybody happy.
Elmo, I understand that you're happy to be on the show, but you're sad because maybe someone in the household may have lost a job. Is that true?
Yes. Some people having hard time with the economic.
Mm-hmm.
This economy is...
Now, Elmo, you can't talk like that to us. What if the kids hear you?
Elmo's taking it right in the
Elmo, I thought you were going to explain to little children on Sesame Street what's going on with the economy.
Elmo have bigger problems.
Right, but I think
Elmo's 401k's in the
I never really thought about the retirement plan for a Muppet. I guess I was confused by that.
Really?
So
all I have are my securities and my stock.
Wow.
And the problem is the name of an individual or entity that is an issuer carrying its own records is only paid the dividends by the distributions of the other shareholders of record.
I thought you were going to explain the economy to children.
I'm trying to explain it.
in language they can understand.
My Fidelity investments are f***ed up.
Okay, that part I got. I understand that part.
Elmo was talking to institutional broker and found out that his maximum capital gains in his mutual fund have f***ed up.
Really? Wow. You're going to need to watch your language, though, if you don't mind, Elmo.
Well, maybe you can hit up Deep Pockets Al Roker. Isn't he on the show with you tonight?
Al Roker's a fat weatherman.
That's true.
And he's cheap.
Oh, he is? He's cheap? I didn't know that.
Everyone on Sesame Street is having a hard time with the finances.
Oh, no, really?
Yes. Oscar had to renegotiate the mortgage on his trash can.
Sure.
Oh, that's terrible.
That could be rough.
I'm just about to pull the fillings out of Big Bird's mouth and sell them to one of those gold people who you mail in the gold.
Wow, that is rough times.
I'm broke.
Okay.
There's no money.
Elmo is broke. I'm going to release a new toy called Lend Me Elmo.
Oh,
lend me
that's
some money.
Okay,
that's Elmo. Sad.
This economy's bullshit.
All right, we got to go.
You.
Right now, I'm very excited. I don't know that we've ever had Jane Lynch on the show before, Kevin, but you and I both agree that anything she's in, movie or television, always worth checking out. The
That's
woman has
correct.
Unerring taste, and she, of course, is one of the stars of Glee, premiering for real this time tonight on Fox at 9. Jane Lynch on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Miss Lynch, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Explain Glee to us, because I saw it. It seemed like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
What happened with that?
Well, it was a new
I heard you got canceled, and now it's back.
Nope, not at all. What we did is we whetted everybody's appetite, and hopefully it'll prove to be a good strategy tonight when everyone in America watches it. But we premiered the pilot in right after American Idol, the finale of American Idol, and then we went off the air for 4 months, and we shot 13 episodes, and the first one is premiering tonight. And you know, the worldwide interweb has been alive and on fire about Glee, so I think the strategy might have worked.
All right.
Find out, you know, we'll find out if people actually watch the show tonight.
It was an interesting strategy, and I understand it, because of course the biggest audience Fox has all year long is for that American Idol finale, so they
right.
but they definitely must have really believed in the show to think that people were going to remember it and still care
yeah.
about it 4 months later. But I think you're right. I mean, anyone who can take a Glee Club version of Don't Stop Believing by Journey and turn it into an iTunes hit has fans.
And it was such a stunning rendition of that song. It's just every time I hear it, it gives me chills. It's really
there's a lot of Journey in this show.
He goes all, Ryan Murphy, our creator, goes all over the place with the music. The American musical, we've got a Rihanna song. In this next episode, we've got a Kanye West song. I mean, we're so crazy with the musical styles.
And it's such an interesting show. And Kevin mentioned, hey, how about explaining it to people who haven't seen it yet? Because it's a mix of like 30 different shows going on at the same time. That's what's weird about it.
Well, you've got the Glee Club kids. So they're like the losers, the nerds of the high school. And, you know, they're getting their chance to have their voice heard in this little Glee Club that's always being threatened with, you know, its demise because it needs money. And most of the money is going to the cheerleaders, the Cheerios. And I am the head of that wonderful group of young people, and we've been on Fox Sportsnet, so we're like the hot little subculture of the school. And so these kids are just struggling basically in the Glee Club there to stay alive. And then there's some wacky adult characters, and you know, it goes all over the place. And of course the musical numbers, and everybody gets a chance to do a song except me. It's totally unfair.
They didn't let you do it?
I did a dance number. I did a Lindy Hop with Matt Morrison, who plays the Will Schuster, the head of the Glee Club.
You have nothing but disdain for him and his club and anyone else in school, right? I mean, your character pretty much just is on top of the world.
Yeah, she's Sue Sylvester's the name of my character, and she's head of the cheerleaders and out to crush the spirits of these young Glee kids.
Do you think she love cheer, or does she hate her life, or both?
No, I think she's just out for some kind of vague revenge in life and to be in control. I don't even think she knows where it comes from, but she's all about it's delicious to her to see the looks on people's faces when she's cruel and says these, you know, really inappropriate, very politically incorrect things about everybody there, and that she gets great delight out of being, being basically Cruella de Vil.
Sure.
Now, I think the, by the way, this is Jane Lynch on the phone that we're talking to on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Glee is premiering tonight on Fox at 9. I think the great compliment that you gave to the writing staff at Glee, because you're so famous as being a great ad-libber, as being a comedic actress who can ad-lib, and you're in the Judd Apatow universe and the Christopher Guest universe, is that you don't ever want to change the words that they give your character to say because you think they're so well-written.
Every script is like, I can't believe they went there. Can't believe they went there.
We have a clip of the head of the Glee Club. He's coming to you to try and recruit some of your cheerleaders.
Right,
and,
Cheerios.
You're not down with that.
So you want to talk to my Cheerios about joining Glee Club?
Well, I need more kids, performers, and all the best ones are in the Cheerios, so I figured some of them might want to double up.
Okay, so what you're doing right now is called blurring the lines. High school is a caste system. Kids fall into certain slots. Your jocks, your popular kids, up in the penthouse. The invisibles and the kids playing live action, druids and trolls out in the forest, bottom floor.
And where do the Glee kids lie?
Sub-basement.
below the kids that are out in the forest. That hurts.
Right.
Shane, was there ever, in your mind, any kind of trepidation about committing to a TV series with as much work as you do in movies, or did win you over?
No, the script, first of all, won me over, and I really love the idea of hanging my hat in one place for a while, and it looks like, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do that. It was really fun doing the first 13, going to the same place every morning, going to the same trailer, working with the same people. I mean, I may be sick of it after a while, but right now I love it.
2 weeks from now, you're going to be yelling at people, don't look me in the eye.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff. You're going to start bringing a chimp on the set. I mean, it's just going to go off the rails, refusing to come out of your trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan, man. That's absolutely going to happen. They don't know what they're in for.
All right, good. Well, like I said, when we brought you on, and we didn't just say this, you are a great actress in anything that you do. We check out because you make it better. And I love this Glee. I'm so excited that it's finally back. It has been a long summer waiting for the return. So check it out tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox.
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate you talking to us.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
7 K Rock is
come on. Try
at 8:36.
Wheels are coming off this wagon on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of wheels,
Yes.
Thank you,
Ralph.
So much.
Nicely done.
Here my whole thing.
You too, Kevin.
Here my whole thing.
Yes.
We have every single day, it seems like, lately especially, come across a story in the news that involves some sort of freakish or weird or killer animal.
Right.
And
the stories are that pedestrian and that common that you have one every day. It's time just to ignore them and move on to
each one needs their own little
riper
feature.
Fruit.
A listener sent me a story yesterday about a man in Australia who found a python, a 6-foot python, in his toilet, Ralph. Now, how do you not want to know more about how that happens?
How does a 6-foot python fit in a toilet, by the way?
Well, I don't think all of him was, you know, above water.
No, it wasn't like coiled up.
Yeah, he was
like, wow, can you imagine? A bad night of drinking.
Can you imagine?
So that's why we decided a few weeks ago to start the Wheel O Bad Animal Voices, because it gives us the opportunity to describe the stories and then make a phone call and get in depth on the story. Right. When you run into the other room and pick up the phone and play the animal.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone knows now.
We
talked
to an expert involved.
It's old, it's moldy, it's oldy, so, it's time to retire it.
So here's what's on the wheel today.
I'm saying let's not do the wheel this time.
We have the 6-foot toilet python.
Okay. Seems promising.
That was my favorite British comedy group, by the way.
We have the Pimpin' Chimps, which we've had for a while.
We've never talked to the Pimpin' Chimps.
Russian Dog Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Suicidal New York City Turtles.
Right.
Attacking Komodo Dragon. Uh-huh. Gay German Penguins.
Right.
Argentinian Mega Colony Ants.
Uh-huh.
And Rats of Unusual Size.
Rats of Unusual Size.
Yes. So we're going to spin the wheel, and then whatever it lands on, that is where we're going to go to try and find out some more information.
Okay.
Good spin, by the way.
Thank you.
Felt good.
Take a vowel, Vanna.
Rats of unusual size.
What a surprise.
How about that?
All right, I got to go.
That's fantastic. Well, don't leave yet.
Ralph, we're getting ready to call right now. You don't want to miss this. Come on.
Remember in the Princess Bride?
It's time for
Sorry. That was the intro.
My favorite part of the Princess Bride.
This is it.
What about the RUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Ah!
Now, all right. Now I can't play the theme, right? Because it's way too late.
Yes.
I was supposed to do that before we even spun the wheel.
I'm telling you, we're falling apart.
This is a disaster
apart.
On every level.
We're in no condition to travel today and try to put a show together for tomorrow. Here's the story, guys. Papua New Guinea is the place. Apparently, it is a real lost world. There's a documentary being made on the BBC. In fact, it's already been made. It starts airing today. They think that people have not been there for 200,000 years, and they are finding all sorts of crazy new creatures, stuff that they didn't even know existed, including rats of unusual size weighing about 3 pounds, Lisa May, and growing to about the size of a cat.
Wow.
A rat the size of a cat.
Okay, that's a little crazy.
So we're going to talk to Papua New Guinea and find out what's going on down there. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is a rat. Are you surprised?
Very surprised.
What?
Yeah, I'm hanging out here in Papua New Guinea. Or we Papua.
Is it not Papua? Is that wrong, too?
Yeah. How do you know? He's being corrected by a rat.
Well,
How do you know who I am?
I'm a native.
By a 200,000-year-old rat.
Yeah.
Well, the rat isn't
200,000 years old.
You misunderstood.
The region hasn't been touched by humans in 200,000 years. Well, if you knew that, why did you say the rat was 200,000 years old?
Man, misspoke.
All right, so you really are, you grow to 3 pounds and you're about the size of a cat?
I'm huge. I'm a rat of unusual size.
That's a big rat.
Yeah.
You're not a small rat at all.
Not even a little bit.
You're bigger than an average rat that we would know.
Yes, I'm larger than the average rat. That's why I am so newsworthy, because of my unusual size.
And how's that going for you?
You want to know what my name is?
What's your name?
Yeah, what's your name?
Khloe.
What?
Kardashian?
Named after Khloe Kardashian.
Wow, I see.
I didn't know she was a giant rat-faced bitch.
So there's a U in it, but it's pronounced just Papa. There's Papa, no Papua.
Papa New Guinea, yeah.
Papa New Guinea, okay.
But not Papua.
Okay. The Lost Land of the Volcano is the BBC documentary, and yes. I guess they've also found new species of fish down there, weird fanged frogs. I mean, it sounds like a crazy place.
Yeah, why did you talk to the frog that has fangs?
Could we talk to the weird fanged frogs?
Absolutely. Okay. Hold on a second.
Put them on.
Oh, wow, this is a bonus. Didn't expect this. Wait, who's laughing with you there, Chloe?
That's a frog. Oh, hi.
What's happening?
I'm a fanged frog. Blah, blah.
It's possible we've exhausted this story.
Blah,
how big was that rat?
It
just gave you
that was a huge rat. It was so big. I would not even try to bite it and suck the blood from it. Blah, blah.
And you're from Papua New Guinea?
No, Papua New Guinea.
Oh, Papua New Guinea. Okay.
And you're 200,000 years old?
Yes, I'm an old frog with fangs.
Blah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:51.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, he can have the Kevin and Bean Show as far as I'm concerned at this point.
It's time for the
What? No?
We already did it. We're done.
Timing.
We're done
with that. All right. Sorry.
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat, though. What's going on?
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Yes, she is.
True.
Tyra kicked off the...
Wait, did you hear Bean?
No, what?
He said true.
Oh, well, I think we brought him over to
back
the
on our
for
side.
Years, for years side. Now, I've recognized right. how bad she is. So the biggest mistake she made, as many models do, is she started talking, and that's where she lost me.
But look, we're in the minority. Her show's a huge hit. That daytime talk show she has.
Mm-hmm. Can't be.
Yesterday, Kevin, was the premiere of season number 5. How do you like me now?
Wow. Something is just wrong.
And, you know, in the past, she's talked about her big fat ass and how everyone should accept it. And her fat ass is perfect. And if you don't like it, you can kiss her big
I
fat
have
ass.
One thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Well, I watched the premiere, some of the premiere episode yesterday. She's lost about 40 pounds.
Really? What a surprise.
Yeah, apparently the big fat ass isn't as acceptable as she would like us to believe.
You better all accept me the way I am.
Yeah. I need to stop eating.
I need to lose the weight so I look hot again. But yesterday's big expose was she solved the mystery of her hair.
Oh,
was
really?
There, it was an episode dedicated to her hair. She's dedicated an episode to her ass, and now she's dedicating it to her hair.
Wait, there's a mystery?
Apparently. Here's her monologue from the opening.
Let's talk about my hair right now. I know it's been a big mystery, and I was like, it was an unsolved mystery, and I felt like I needed to solve this mystery. Like, I've worn weaves and wigs and pieces and clip-ons and clip-outs and clip-downs and arounds since I was 17, 18 years old. And I wanted to show the real me. I wanted to show the raw me. And I just got out of the shower, beat the face first, of course, y'all. And then came out of here, came on the stage, and this is me, y'all. This is me.
Woo! Woo!
Sorry, look at me.
Woo!
I saw a picture of that. It's not very attractive, first of all. But second of all, how's it a show?
Kevin, it's a mystery.
Where's the mystery that needs to be solved?
It's a mystery, and she's going to solve the unsolvable mystery.
How's it unsolvable?
It's neither a mystery nor unsolvable, because we all knew she wore wigs, so there really wasn't even much of a mystery.
Right. Did she spend the whole hour talking about that and have experts on to discuss it, or what did she fill the show with?
Yes.
Sure she did.
Her hair.
Tell me what you like about my hair.
What to do with hair. Well, how do you fix your hair? How do you wear your hair? What do you do with hair? Here's hair, ladies and gentlemen. For your enjoyment, hair.
I could not hate her more.
She's brutal. She's freaking brutal.
Hey, Ruff, as loath as I am to interrupt your showbiz beat, we have an update on the story of Dr. Drew going maniacal last night and stabbing people with hypodermics, and he is on the phone. Would we have time to squeeze him here?
Absolutely.
Right now?
Squeeze him on the show because Drew.
Wait a minute. We have to squeeze him? Well, you know he tried to kill a man last night. He just went berserk. He's been working too hard, and he started attacking people with a hypodermic.
Snapped. I heard he was shooting him up with heroin. Is that true?
I heard the same thing. That's what I heard, too. So let's find out. Dr. Drew?
Well, you know, it's always the addict demanding the drug. It's not me.
Yeah. No, sure. That's not what we heard. That's not what it sounded like last night.
I got to tell you something. I looked at my Twitter, and I see Mike twittering about swelling up. I flipped out. I said, are you okay?
Psycho Mike hosted Loveline last night. And Dr. Drew stabbed him with some type of a hypodermic, which none of us know what was in it.
Gave him the
flu shot.
He wouldn't tell.
Freaking flu shot.
He gave him the Andromeda strain.
I've got to tell you, Mike has never looked worse. His
really
face is puffy.
We're not kidding, Drew.
His eyes are swollen.
Oh, are you? You know, I have given 10,000 flu shots over... Probably more than that. Probably 30,000 flu shots.
Well, maybe you should cut back on those.
Easy there, push
right in. No one has ever had this reaction. I am flipping out. Mike, get some Benadryl or Claritin or some kind of antibiotic.
Get all of it.
Go to sleep if he does that.
You know, if you really wanted me to end this co-hosting gig early, you could have just told me. You didn't have to put propofol in me or whatever it is you gave me.
Oh, my God. I'm so flipped out. I'm so sorry.
His throat swelled up. His eyes are swollen. He's puffy. Feels like crap. He almost didn't make it into work. Nice work, Drew.
Sure, it's just that he's not been sleeping. He's been doing Loveline at night and getting.
Mike is a guy who will always work, never call in sick. He'll run out of the room and throw up and come back in and work. He's got a real weird work ethic. But today he almost didn't come in.
Oh, you call me afterwards.
I think I'm okay. I'll be okay now.
Why don't you poke him less?
But I was on the verge of death this morning.
Oh, my God. I am so sorry. So, you can't imagine how that feels.
So, Dr. Drew, the flu shot sometimes can give you these adverse symptoms. That's what that's about?
Never! It never happens.
Wait, I always hear that some people get a mild version of the flu after they get the shot. That's not true?
Well, you can get a little sort of reaction because it's a protein and your immune system reacts. You can't get the flu because there's no flu virus in it.
Okay, but
you can feel kind of headachy and crummy. But an allergic reaction is so rare from this thing. Oh, my God.
You don't want to be the rare guy. That's what I've learned. You don't want people going, wow, that's never happened before.
That's Mike.
I think now we know why Drew spends so much time on television, because in real life he's a quack.
Nice job, pusher man.
That is Ralph. Was that Ralph?
Yeah,
that's Ralph. Because Mike's
going to
love that, not him.
Just saying. Oh, wow.
They won't let me. There's a law. It's written that I cannot do love line, apparently.
That is true. Yeah. Well, Mike's hands and feet are falling off now, Drew, so I hope you're happy. He's going to be in a wheelchair tonight.
Good news is Mike's doing a fantastic job on Loveline.
Excellent. Yes,
he is.
And he'll be there again tonight, even though he's almost dead.
Oh, my God.
And may I say, you've done an excellent job as Michael Jackson's personal physician.
All right, Doc. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
See
Mike,
you
call me.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye. The funny thing is that Dr. Drew is Mike's personal physician.
Yeah, it's his real doctor. Yeah,
his real doctor, and has been for many, many, many years. Yet still, Dr. Drew starts coming at you with a needle and won't tell you what's in it. I'd be nervous.
He told him what it was.
The fact that Mike is still walking the earth is a miracle, considering that Drew's his personal physician. I'm telling you. Someone should check the guy's credentials. I've never seen a diploma. Have you?
He may not even be a doctor.
About a week ago,
I think he was born in Kenya. That's what I think.
About a week ago when you did his birthday, you raved about him for an hour each time.
Yeah, it's happy birthday. That's
smartest
his
guy in the world.
That's once a year he gets that. The rest of the time I tell the truth. The man is a killer.
He's not a killer. What's wrong with you?
Have you ever seen in the backyard?
Well, no. But
shallow grave after shallow grave.
Wow.
Babies, what's that?
What's that?
Of babies.
Babies,
terrible. Mike, when you used to go in for your pediatric checkups, he was like making you eat glass and stuff too, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and he would do these prostate exams, and I was only like 4.
Yeah, it's rough.
He was checking you for a hernia, and he came in with a head cold.
He's been doing the right thing all along, I'd like to say.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing to Mike.
It's so great to hear Drew panic, because he never does that.
I know.
He's always the guy in complete control of all situations.
We all panic, and he just never seems to be bothered. Yeah. Nicely done.
Thanks, guys.
Before he started injecting people with Ebola. I feel kind of bad that I bummed you out last hour with that whole Megan Fox, I won't get naked story.
Yeah. You did.
I'd like to make it up.
That's horrible.
To you.
All right.
It's just been announced that the producers of the HBO film Gia, which you may remember was the true story of supermodel Gia Carangi.
Yes.
Who was played by the Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Won an Emmy for it.
Yeah, who played she was a bisexual supermodel.
Okay.
Who was naked quite a bit in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily with her co-star Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Well, just announced there will be a new, unedited, longer, cut-free Gia released on high-definition DVD next month.
Yay!
So they're not remaking it with someone ugly?
Nope.
Fantastic.
The producers are going to re-release the high-definition, unedited, uncensored version, which has considerably longer lesbian love scenes between Angelina Jolie and Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yeah.
Dude. And that's going to be on Blu-ray?
It just says high def here, so I'm guessing it would be Blu-ray.
Yeah, we're on Blu-ray.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So there you go.
Much better.
Up for you.
Much better.
And Angelina Jolie, if you haven't seen that, is the best kind of naked because she's crazy naked in that movie.
Yeah, crazy naked.
Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
I never need to hear that again.
Oh, God.
I don't ever need to hear that again.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michelle Williams is 29 years old today. Singer Michael Bublé is 34. His name used to be Michael Bubble until Drew gave him that shot. Now he's all Bublé. He's 34. Adam Sandler is 43. Hugh Grant celebrates his 49th birthday, and actor Michael Keaton, who used to make movies till Drew gave him a checkup.
That's true.
And he had to drop out of show business.
Checkup in air quotes. Yeah.
Lost a leg.
That's true.
No room for a one-legged Batman in show business, tell you that much. He is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a very funny comedian, Mr. Jay Moore, everyone. What the heck is algebra? You never need that. They say you're going to need this for the rest of your life. The lion. Algebra. That sounds like the name of some white trash kid in Fontana lives in a trailer park. Algebra. His mother comes out with rollers in her hair. Algebra!
I'll do Christopher Walken later. But first, I want to talk about Tracy Morgan.
I am so sick of people making fun of Sarah Jessica Parker. If your friend was married to Sarah Jessica Parker and he was coming to your house for your fantasy football draft, the first words out of your mouth would be, is Sarah coming?
Jay Moore's gay.
I kissed everyone. Because that's a big thing when you come on The View.
Jay Moore's gay.
Well, we've all known that for years.
Where'd you pull that audio?
Right now, the party.
Sounded like I was in a really big room.
It did, yeah. Madison Square Garden, I'm sure.
Back in the day when I used to sell at the Beacon Theater. Colin Quinn opening act. What are you going to do, folks?
That's funny man Jay Moore joining us, by the way. You can see him on stage, live, and in person at the Brea Improv Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets are on sale now through improv.com. Jay, how are you?
I'm good. People in Orange County don't even know where Brea is.
Yeah, that's probably
it's
true.
It's kind of borderline Orange
County. Where you get a lot of like redheaded white guys that act exactly like Mexicans.
Interesting.
They all got like they got the trucks, and like on the back of the truck, there's a decal of each member of the family.
Right.
And there's always someone named Luz, L-U-Z. Who's behind that person in traffic, and there's always a soccer ball hanging from the mirror.
Sure.
And then they have like the two dogs on the back also, and they did their own tint, so it's all bubbly in the back.
That's how you know you're in Brea.
Yeah.
All right.
La raza, cocoya mañana.
You are a famous actor and comedian and humanitarian, but
yes.
I did not realize that you are also a doctor of medicine because you have been diagnosing psychomyxin.
I'm a hypochondriac.
There's
a big difference. Yeah, I'm a hypochondriac, which gives me a little bit of license to diagnose others.
Okay.
I believe that Psycho Mark has an allergic.
Mike.
Mike. I always call you that, don't I?
Yeah.
Every single time.
That's all right. Let's go with Mark.
I believe, if we can get Drew back, I believe you have an allergy to chicken feathers, which is one of the components inside a flu shot.
Is that what people react to?
I don't know about people, but I know that when I got a flu shot once, the nurse took the needle out of my arm and went, "Oh, I forgot to ask you, you're not allergic to chicken feathers, are you?" And then I convinced myself for the next 3 days that I was, and
of course
I was dying. But the fact
why
that you're
chicken feathers, I don't get that.
They're in the shot, I guess.
Yeah,
but why?
So, not fat, like you
so
know, they
you
don't inject feathers in you, but it's just something,
like
some type of enzyme. Yeah. But when did you get this shot?
Last night.
Yeah, you'd be dead by now. You're good.
Oh,
he could have a mild reaction, but if
he had a
true
big
reaction, it would have happened really fast, and he would have been in the hospital.
Yeah, you would have been dead. You're fine. You're way out of the woods.
But your throat is closing right now because you're a hypochondriac.
Doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm aware that I have a throat and it's tighter than it was before I walked in here.
Kevin, didn't you used to have didn't you tell a story once about a teacher that you had in school that you and the other students were able to convince she was getting sick?
Yep.
Really?
We had this whole plan and we would go, "Wow, you don't look good."
Where'd you go to school? Fame?
You don't look good. No, it was someplace in Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix.
Yeah.
How they went to Fame?
And she, about halfway
Bruno?
Through, she went home. She went home. We were like, "Woo!"
Are you serious?
Yeah, we can. You know, because if enough people come up to you, go, "You're all right, man. You're not looking very
good."
That
is really interesting.
You start like believing it.
We got in guys' heads.
Oh. That's how you
in grammar school. Well, actually, in middle school and in junior high, there was a detective in my hometown, Mr. Detective Huber. But Verona, New Jersey, there's only like 2,000 people, so there's one detective,
right?
And there was a huge fight on the football field one day. No, there was no game. There was a fight. And some kid from another town, like, really, like, had to go to the hospital, like, with a cracked skull. And Detective Huber interviewed, like, 40 kids. And the neighborhood, like, wise guys, the Irish mob guys, told us, always say, "I was in the bathroom." So Detective Huber, like, one by one goes, "What happened? JJ, what happened?" And I go, "I don't know. I was in the bathroom." But it's a football field. So, like, he's got 30 kids between the ages of 12 and 18 going, "I was in the bathroom." And he goes, "Let me get this straight. A young man has his brains coming out his right ear, and 40 people are eyewitnesses, but no one saw it because you were all in the bathroom." And, like, half of us at once went, "We don't know. We were in the bathroom." And, like, tears came to his eyes because he wanted to solve this case because this poor kid's parents were all over him, right?
Sure.
My freshman year in baseball, he's the baseball coach. I'm the starting center fielder. I lead off.
Your coach?
He's my coach, right. Huber. I lead off with a double. I'm tagged safe. You know, I'm smoking a nice double. Safe! He goes, time. He pulls me out of the game, and he puts Eddie Conlon in to stand on second base. And I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm just thinking, like, well, there's got to be some strategy to it. I'm a freshman, and I don't want to cause any waves, you know? So, like,
third inning goes
by, and I go up to him. I go, "Coach Huber, why did you pull me out of the game?" He goes, "I don't know. I was in the bathroom."
Yay!
Guy waited 4 years. 4 years.
That's the best.
Now, do you think he had equally elaborate plots for all the other guys who gave him that same line in that investigation?
He's a detective in a town filled with Guidos driving IROCs. The biggest crime is, like, you know, ringing doorbells and running. I think that's all he did is watch, like, Keith Morrison on MSNBC and go, "Why can't I have a good caper like that? Why can't someone from this town push their wife off a cruise ship?"
And
then Keith Morrison go, "Here in this Tony suburb where no one locks their doors." And
Jay,
that same wife. Yes, that same wife. No one ever locks their doors in these neighborhoods. Where are these neighborhoods?
That's a good question.
They must save so much time not locking their doors.
I did not have a house key to the house that I live in now for the first 6 years that I lived here. I did not even own a house key.
Under the bridge?
Yeah, under the bridge. Yeah.
But the,
What a hack I turned out to be. You guys really thought I turned the corner last few visits.
We thought so.
I'll admit, but at least I admit it. I'm not a hack, but I'm not afraid to pull out my hack rifle and fire when needed.
Sure.
It's like, hey, it's like, yes, sir.
Jay Moore is doing the hilarious stand-up at the Brea Improv, a city that people in Orange County don't even know exists. But he's also a hilarious comedy television star. And your show's coming back, too, right?
Yeah, we're back. I have a table read. When I leave here, I got to go back to CBS for episode 4.
Episode 4. All right. All right.
You got my throat closed up, you jerk.
Sorry.
I can't even catch my breath.
He didn't do it. You. It's all right up here.
Look, he looks fine now.
He is fine.
He looks like he were out on. He's like Night at the Roxbury. His hair's all messed up. I never saw anyone have an allergic reaction and made their hair stand up. It's like some young Frankenstein over there.
A couple of hilarious Jay Moore jokes. I feel okay.
How come every time you lean into the mic, Kevin acts like you have SARS?
I do. I'm moving over. I don't want what
especially
he's got.
Now.
By the way, a great SARS reference, too. That's good.
It's timely, too.
A lot of people would go with swine flu, not you. You go
no,
SARS.
I go SARS. Later, I'm going to talk about album covers. And
all the hip references.
Yeah, album covers, 8-tracks. I'm going to talk about Vans.
All right. Excellent.
And I'll think of something else that's timely. Right, you know what? You know, while we're on the subject of the Enola Gay, let's talk. Look,
really?
Mike has no idea what that even is.
Sorry.
It's the name of the plane
you
that
do,
dropped the H-bomb.
Right?
All right.
That's all. Just thinking of things that are out of date.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Even I knew that. And that's pathetic.
You watch,
I don't know
you watch
anything.
All those war channels.
I believe it was the pilot's mom's name.
I wasn't actually paying attention to you at all when we were talking.
You don't have to pay attention to me as long as you go to the Brea Improv Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
All right.
Jay, this won't surprise you knowing what you know about me, but I have an autographed 8x10 photo of the atomic bomb explosion signed by all 4 members of the Enola Gay. How about that for a piece of memorabilia?
I think that's awesome.
He's a World War II memorabilia. I do love death. And that's the Mac Daddy of all death.
Yeah, but you're missing the big signature, my man.
Which one?
Harry S., man.
Well.
The man that had to pull the trigger.
What are you going to do?
Greatest president we ever had.
No,
not because of that.
I was going to say, that's
no, the guy was vice president, and he was sworn in a month into his term because FDR, you know, was dead upon oath. They swore him in with like a secretary's Bible out of her desk, and then he created Israel.
And this then, is not right. Where I saw today's Jay Moore interview going. History of Harry S. Truman.
He faked out the North Koreans into thinking we had the entire peninsula when there was like 2,000 troops way, way down at the bottom. World War II.
I didn't see us going this direction either.
Let's talk about what I'm really here to talk about.
Which is?
Let's talk about Wendy Williams.
Can we do that after the break?
Yeah. No. She sounds just like Jill Zarin.
We got to take a break. We got to take a break.
From Housewives, New York? Oh, I don't know if you noticed. I'm gay.
Ah, okay. Well, that headline, we'll have to wait for a second.
Jay
we'll
Moore,
back.
Gay.
Brea Improv, Friday through Sunday. We will be right back.
Funny man Jay Moore in our studio right now. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv if you're listening in Southern California, Friday through Sunday. Tickets on sale through improv.com. By the way, I've never felt better about our show versus Ryan Seacrest's show than I do right now.
Why? Because you're not in a battle with Spidey?
Because he's got Dane Cook in his studio right now.
And you got me.
And we've got Jay Moore, ladies and gentlemen. That's a win. That is a win right there.
We respect on the block. That's hot. Not because you're friendly with the cops. I'm talking about the chart rapper holding fools by their Soul Train laminates.
What's happening right now?
I'm using old Jay school hip-hop references, but trying to delete N-bombs at the same time. I realized I had to get way ahead of that one.
That's difficult.
If I was on stage, I would have just said it. If you come see my show, I do say it a lot. It's very comforting for the Orange County folks to see a white person on stage saying that word.
And you're not afraid of that?
No, it's all in context. Right. I don't point to a guy and go, hey, look at that.
Right. We have conversations here a lot. Excellent point. We have conversations here a lot where we try to explain that it's in context, and it still doesn't fly.
It never flies.
With our boss.
There's no context.
My favorite is when I'm in the car and I'm listening to music and I'm next to, or perfect, a sandwich between two black cars, and I'm listening to like Method Man, or it's like Southside, what? And just that word is over and over, and I just look both sides like, hey, man, I didn't write it, dude. This is on your dime, bro.
But you have to defend yourself a bit with the glance.
No. I can't wait to get pulled out of my car. You kidding me? Guys like me and Mike, we can't wait to get jumped. I've been sober since 96, Kevin. If I get jumped, I'm going to jail for a long time.
Wow. All right. Good times.
Jay, are you willing to talk to us?
It happens for you,
but you never get jumped when you're in that mood. Everyone just makes it.
Yeah, they can tell
you're crazy.
They can smell it.
We're just looking
for
the opportunity
to kill
it, Bunny.
I can tell.
Right. I hear you, bro.
Yeah, sure.
What's up, baby?
Jay, are you willing to talk to a hater? We've got a hater on the phone.
Yeah, sure. What's he hate?
Well, we'll find out. This is Scott. He's in Brea, as a matter of fact. Scott, you're going to go see our man Jay on stage this weekend at the Improv, right?
No. This is Scott from Brea. I don't think your microphones are working correctly because you said funny man Jay Moore when you started this segment, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the one we're referring to, right?
Okay. I'm just wondering, I had a question for Jay. Yeah, no, I had a question for Jay. I was just wondering. I heard they're changing the name of the show to Gary Unwatchable this season. Is that true?
Wow. You know, that's funny because when I was dusting off my People's Choice Award this morning, it said Best New Comedy. So I didn't know they gave those awards out to shows that no one watches.
I've never heard the People's Choice defense. I got to be honest.
I never used it. I never got one.
Okay.
What's your name, Scott?
Yeah, this is Scott from Brea. I just want to say, you know, there's an interesting phrase. You know,
when is it my turn to talk, Scott?
Okay, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
What do you watch instead?
That was brilliant. That was brilliant, Jay.
That's good, Scott.
That was your chance.
It's called Good Actors Can Read the Phone Book. Jay is one of those actors who has to stand on phone books to do a scene. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Because I'm 5'11". Why? So if I stand on the phone book, I'm 6'1"?
You're 5'11", really?
Yes.
Must be your acting that makes you look shorter.
All right. Where did all the hate come from, Scott?
Scott, where do you work, Scott? Well, he's laughing at himself. Wow, Scott's
a very proud
boy.
Of himself right now. Yeah.
Scott, you live in Brea, dude.
Yeah, you look like you got.
Well, what is this? The Rome show? You got your tape written out?
I was going to say, this is such a Rome call.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's.
You haven't called me fat yet.
No, I'm gonna work on your haircut now. You look like a hobbit had sex with Joe Dirt.
All right.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, even he's out. All right.
Nice try.
Hey, it's the best you could for Brea.
For real, are you going to come to the show?
No.
Why not?
That's a little bit of a drive.
From Brea?
You're in
Brea. To Brea?
It's a block away.
Yeah, it is a long way.
Do you really think I'm terribly unfunny, Scott? Or did you just want to get on the Kevin and Bean show because they're the best show?
You know what, man?
You won't hurt my feelings. I'm just curious.
I loved you and Jerry Maguire.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so they're...
All right.
That's all I got.
Have you ever seen him do stand-up?
Say what?
Have you ever seen him do stand-up?
A little bit.
No. You either came to a live show or you didn't. Have you ever been in a room when I did an hour of comedy?
I've never been in a room.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
All right. I've seen Jay, and it's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
I'm better now than... I'm three times as funny as when you saw me.
Not possible.
Bro.
Not possible.
Open invitation.
Three times.
I'm telling you the truth.
You're great.
That time, that was the old guy like up there just trying to get chicks because he was miserable in his life and I just couldn't wait for the party to start when I got off stage. Now the party's when I'm on stage. Now I'm telling the truth up there.
All right.
Now it's like old school hip hop. I'm like KRS-One on the mic. When I grab the mic, you're like, B, I'm gone. Bean, wake up, Bean.
I'm with you. I'm marveling at the breadth of references between Harry S. Truman and KRS-One in the same conversation.
La, 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 coming with that rah-rah. I was rocking beats when you was goo-goo gaga to your mama. You want to battle KRS-One. You went and told your papa. He boxed your ears and said, uh-uh.
Wow. This is impressive.
Yeah, so I'll be in Brea Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's what I understand. Look for Scott when you get there.
What a jerk.
That's too far to drive.
You know what?
Scott, I thought he made some good points.
Jim. Jay fills in for Jim Rome, and there's always those guys that call him. Always. And you just destroy them one after another, and I don't know why they feel like they need to keep attacking.
I don't know. I had a guy. I was just in Houston yesterday, actually. I was in Houston, and I flew in to do this.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Otherwise, I would have slept all day today and just came in tomorrow. I had a guy after my show go, it was great, man. I was yelling. Did you hear me yelling? I go, yeah, I heard you. There's only one person yelling. I go, I heard you. He goes, I almost had you. And I said, what do you mean? Like, what did you think like when you had me? Like, what, you know, like get you off your game. Did you hear me? Did you? I go, remember when I looked at you and I said, shut up? And the entire place clapped? That was me going, I hear you, and you have to shut up. Because I don't want you to get thrown out, is really. Because you're not going to derail me, because I don't have an act. I just go up there and talk. There's no, like, by rote set. Well, there's no notebook up there on the stool like those garbage comedians out there today.
I don't get that. What is it? They want to wreck it for everyone?
That's what their goal is? It doesn't happen often. It's just this one guy. And Houston was a great, great, great city. I was very impressed. It's like Southerners with college educations. That's Houston.
Wow, no kidding.
But nothing like Brea.
No, of course not. You got guys like Scott and Brea.
Yeah,
that's whatever that guy's name was.
That's where you're funniest.
They closed the Tower Records across from the Brea Improv, and now it's a Halloween superstore.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, especially in August, September. So it's timely.
Well, there's no excuse to miss it because now you've been warned. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Brea Improv. You can go to improv.com or you can call. And here's the number, 714-482-0700. Gary Unmarried, excuse me, Gary Unfunny, Gary Unwatchable. What did he say? I can't remember
Gary
what the line
Unwatchable.
Was.
Unwatchable.
Unwatchable, right. Season premiere is going to be Wednesday, September 23rd at 8:30 on CBS.
How would he know that unless he watched it?
He would. You still got the hot wife on the show, too, right?
Hot wife.
Yeah, do you have a hot wife on the show?
No, I'm unmarried. Is the name of the show? Unmarried.
That was a
Gary unmarried
ex-wife. That's what it is. Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Paula Marshall.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He's asking you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paula Marshall plays my ex-wife, and we hate each other. And then Rob Riggle plays my brother from you know, The Hangover and all those goods
and
all
that. I
know
you love him. He's your favorite.
Everyone's back. Everyone's back. All right. And, except there's been a few. You know, trims.
Yeah,
here and there.
Yes.
Well, you are.
So we're going. We're going with a nice sextet this year. We're going to try to ride that out. But it's very funny this year, and it's very fun, and it's great.
Good times.
Okay.
But more importantly, Brea.
Brea Improv.
That's what I understand.
Because
yes.
If you go to Brea Improv, you get to see comedy. And if you call right now, the Brea Improv number, you can. Now this is Kevin and Bean special.
We don't know anything about this.
You can get tickets.
If you call the number?
If you call the number or go to improv.com and click on Brea, you can get tickets.
Wow. That's very generous.
You don't have to mention Kevin and Bean or anything. You can just buy them.
You have to mention Kevin and Bean.
You do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm saying you don't.
Look, he's better now. I told you. As soon as I told you were better, you started getting better, right?
You're one of his favorite people.
You always lift my spirit.
Stop putting your mouth so close to Kevin's mouth. It bothers him.
I do move away.
Get the guy's mic. Let him walk around with that Lou Rawls mic. That long, skinny one, like Gene Rayburn. You'll never find A or B.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:46.
We are waving goodbye to Jay Moore as he leaves the room. Ralph Garman enters, and it's time for our final look at the showbiz beat for Wednesday.
Showing off his guns as he leaves the room.
He was posing as he left.
He was. Yeah. He was throwing up the big bicep curl.
He's the best.
Well, shooting for the Green Hornet has begun.
Yes, you must be so excited.
Now, don't be confused, Kevin. We go through this every time. There's the Green Lantern.
I don't know the difference.
And then there's the Green Hornet.
Both green.
Right.
Both for geeks.
But that's where it stops.
All right.
Green Lantern, of course, is part of an intergalactic police force called Green Lantern Corps.
Sure.
And he's ordered around by the Guardians of the Universe.
Right, of
he's
course.
He's got a power ring.
Okay.
That is able to create any construct that he can will.
And this is who we're talking
with
about?
With hard green light that comes from the central battery on the planet Oa.
Okay.
That's the Green Lantern.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, we're talking about the Green Hornet.
Well, why would you do all that?
I'm trying to help you learn.
I'm thinking Galactic Police
no,
and
this is edification
ring?
For you, trying to keep you in the know.
All right.
The Green Hornet.
Green Hornet.
Is a wealthy newspaper publisher.
With a stinger.
By day.
Yes.
Who fights crime by night as a secret vigilante known as the Green Hornet.
Okay.
Who is aided by his valet, Kato.
Hey.
Hi.
Who is known... as they fight crime as the secret superhero, Kato. And inexplicably, no one is able to put two and two together. But yes, Bruce Lee played it originally in the 1966 TV series. And now John Cho. Jay Chow.
Hi.
Not John Cho at all, Jay Chow. Will be playing it. Where are you going, Lisa? What do you got? You
Nowhere.
Got a plane to catch?
Not doing anything.
She does, actually. She's packing up. She's folding clothes. She's ironing over there.
It's really weird.
She's curling her hair. She's picking out her reading material for the flight.
I've never
just
seen that.
Just stay with the show until we're done, okay?
She has checked
just stick
out.
Around. You were 6 feet away on the other side of the room.
Put something over there.
You got 3 minutes. Ralph, not too much to ask.
She's locking in. She's getting. She's putting out her boarding pass. She's checking her bags. Putting in her lunch order.
Could anyone be the Green Lantern if they had the lantern? Like, if I picked up the lantern, would I become the Green Lantern?
You don't pick up the lantern. You get the ring. The ring is charged by the lantern. And the ring only goes to those who show a great power over fear.
Okay.
You have to be almost fearless in order to wield the Green Lantern ring.
Okay.
I see. It's an important...
Okay. So it's a ring that has a lantern on it?
It does, yes. Okay. But then there's a lantern that you charge the ring. You put the ring into the lantern. That's how you charge the ring. It holds a charge for 24 hours.
Which one can't fight yellow?
That's Green Lantern. He has a weakness against the color yellow.
That is the dumbest thing ever.
I really could walk over there. It would not matter at all.
No, you need to learn too.
Who wins between
the Green Hornet and the Green Lantern? Who wins if they fight?
I'm trying to get to a story about the movie The Green Hornet.
What's the story about the Hornet?
They started filming.
That's it.
Just last week, the principal photography began filming, but now Green Hornet has no bad guy, has no villain.
Somebody dropped out.
Nicolas Cage has backed out of the feature film.
Oh, well, that improved the picture instantly.
He was supposed to play the villain in The Green Hornet.
And what's the villain's
name? But he was not apparently able to come to terms with the studio on his salary and now has backed out of the project.
Mr. Yellow?
No,
what's
that's
his
the
name?
Green Lantern fights Yellow.
Mm. Oh.
The Green Hornet has an adversary named... The Raid Can.
As he's a hornet.
I don't know what villain he was supposed
to
play.
So did Nick Cage take the ring with him, and now they can't make the movie at all?
The Green Hornet doesn't even use a ring.
Damn it.
Oh, then he won't miss it.
He drives the Black Beauty, which is his super-powered secret car with all the gadgets and gizmos.
Why does a hornet need a car?
Because he's got to get around town.
Why the car got to be black?
no word yet on who will replace Nick Cage as the Green Hornet's adversary. But, you know, they're in a bind because they're already in beginning to film, so they need him sooner than later.
I don't even know what that is.
More of a Green Hornet protector.
Maybe. That's the Seth Rogen movie, right?
It is. Seth Rogen plays the Green Hornet. Cameron Diaz is his love interest, and Jay Chou, as I mentioned, will be playing Kato. Not John Cho at all.
Right.
That was a mistake. It's not easy being George Clooney. I mean,
really?
It's easier than being us.
I'd like to try it for a while.
But you have stuff you have to deal with.
Yeah.
For instance, he's currently in Venice promoting his new feature film at the Venice Film Festival called Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh, I can't wait.
By the way,
that's the one book Kevin ever read.
This not only was a very popular book, but maybe my favorite cast of any movie ever.
Really?
Wow. You got,
who's in it?
You got your George Clooney. You've got your Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
You've got your Kevin Spacey.
Wow.
You've got your somebody else good that I can't think of right now.
Okay.
But it's just an amazing
lineup. We'll count
lineup.
That one. We'll count it.
And apparently just a great, great film. The buzz on this is already terrific. But he's there in Venice. He's promoting the movie. He's doing a press conference. And he's got to put up with a Psycho Mike type gay journalist who comes up to him and asks him a question. And not only asks him a question, but then rips off all of his clothes.
What?
While he's asking the question.
Really?
Here's some audio from the press conference in Venice.
I don't know how to say it.
I know what the question is.
I am gay, George. And
here it comes.
I think I'm in love with you. George, please take me. Choose me, George. Please.
Okay.
Please choose me, George. May I kiss you, please? Just one kiss.
That happened
please.
Before, so please take
George,
me
one kiss.
Back.
It's hard when you take a big chance and it doesn't really work. It's always embarrassing when you take one real swing for the fences and it just falls flat. It's a good try, though.
Yeah.
It's a good try, though.
Wow. Yeah. Was that wasn't Bruno?
That was not Bruno. That was a guy who apparently is a gay journalist, and he thought it would be hilarious. He'd get all the attention by stripping his clothes off and asking George to kiss him.
Yeah.
But the room was oddly silent.
That's
and no
hilarious.
One really reacted to it one way or the other, and they escorted him from the premises. And
you think
George,
later he was
George
like,
even then, even there, was the epitome of cool and handled it in the perfect, perfect way.
Let me tell you about this cast of your Men Who Stare at Goats, Ralph, if you're ready. George Clooney,
right.
Jeff Bridges,
yes.
Kevin Spacey,
yes.
J.K. Simmons,
that's
Robert Patrick.
J.K. Simmons, love him.
That's not who you're talking about. I haven't even got there yet.
J.K.
Stephen
Simmons
Root, ladies and gentlemen, Ewan McGregor
Ewan
is
McGregor.
Also in
wow.
this.
Come on.
How's that
Ewan
for a
McGregor
cast?
Plays the journalist who is looking into the secret side of the American military where they develop psychic weapons and psychic warriors.
And there is a legend that somebody can literally stare at a goat and make it die.
And Clooney plays that guy.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so apparently it is a hilarious satire about the American military and going to be very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Williams is 29 years old today. Michael Bublé is 34. Hugh Grant celebrates his 49th birthday. Adam Sandler is 43. And actor Michael Keaton. Why isn't he in Men Who Would Stare at Goats? Couldn't they find a role for Michael Keaton?
I don't think he's looking for roles.
I want him to make movies. He is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show live from New York City. We are there for the MTV Video Music Awards, although...
So far, no. So far, we have no tickets. We'll be watching it on TV like everyone else.
Oh, we're going to the actual awards? No, we're not
going.
They
don't seem to want us to.
We're flying to New York so that we can watch it on television.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
But I think I'm going to go to a Muse show instead.
Oh,
but anyway, we're going to be in New York tomorrow. We got Bob Saget on the program.
You know, Lisa's already in New York?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, she's already been on the plane and she just landed. That's how long ago she left the show.
She did leave during the showbiz beat.
To see, damn it.
Yeah, so we will talk to you tomorrow morning from New York City on the Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, don't have time to get into this, but someone wants to know, what's the Green Goblin? So we'll have to save that for another conversation.
Green Goblin? No. Spider-Man?
No. We don't have time.
That's a fascinating story.
No. We really don't have time.
Know Peter what
Parker,
that is.
Who is Spider-Man?
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes of stop. Kings of Leon, Green Day, Phoenix, and The Offspring all straight ahead right here on the world famous...